Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Today, we're going to talk about, well, first, we've got a whole lot of good news. So Mom's going to be coming on in about an hour for that. I think we're going to talk a little bit about COVID and how the narrative is crumbling, yet we're not really still allowed to talk about it. And Elizabeth actually wanted to talk a little bit about Dahmer this week. So just to kind of revisit what we were discussing last week. But and with that, Elizabeth is with us. So hello, happy Sunday.
Well, hello. Happy Sunday. Who'd have thought that I would eat all my words in just 1 week? But I didn't. That's the blessing of living so long and getting old is you can bob and weave as need be. But you.
So what changed your mind?
You're a widow. Well, I know we don't watch the news. We really need to because it's amazing what happens and then what they don't talk about the next day. We had a very similar Dahmer-like experience in, event. It's an event in Chicago this week. The tenant
what?
In a boarding house. Yes. And today when they were talking about your serial killer that they apprehended, for gun violence, and I'm like, oh, of course. They didn't even speak once about what happened in Chicago, but had one of our lawyers on bemoaning what a horrible mismanagement system we have with Tim Fox and Lori Lightfoot. But they never touched upon this, oh, my God, horrific, very Dahmer-esque-like events right after they have this amazing movie about Dahmer. I'm like, oh, my God, see, this is exactly what I was talking about. But how I wanted to hear your views because 1 week after that movie comes out, here's a boarding house in Chicago, the worst woman on earth, probably a retired librarian, school teacher, renting out every single room in her home, including the basement, to boarders. One of her boarders gets upset and murders her and dismembers her and puts her body parts in the freezer. And this is exact. I'm like, you know what? I kind of poo-pooed all the things that Dahmer did because now it all came back, the whole everything he was doing. So it's interesting what he was trying to do, and I do like to talk about those things. So we will rehash that. But here, this new story that they didn't talk about even after another week here. So she calls this woman, and here's it's a black woman wearing a Muslim-like head, you know, the way they wear their Muslim scarves. So she's a Muslim, right? Black Muslim kills white woman in home, dismembers her. Come in the middle of the night to tow her car because it wouldn't start. And as she's coming out of her house, she's got this huge, hefty garbage bag full of something really, really heavy. And the neighbors call the police because it wasn't garbage day. And they're like, what's going on? And they heard the screaming and all this stuff. And she throws it in her car, has her car towed, goes with the tow truck driver, turns into a crazy person, and scares the tow truck driver. And the tow truck driver calls the police, says she has a knife, she's crazy. There's all this bloody blankets and towels in his garbage bag. The police go and discover all these body parts of the woman in the freezer. They still haven't found the torso of this woman. Now, this is very reminiscent of, you know, Dahmer was doing very, very similar things. And that's the last. They apprehended and arrested this woman. They didn't want to charge her with anything, but now she's been charged and is in jail, and they're still wondering where the torso is. And I'm like, I wonder why they can't find it either. But we haven't heard anything else about that. And I found it so interesting that they wouldn't even touch upon that in the news today on Fox. When you have, do you know you have a serial killer on the running that they finally captured that's been killing homeless men? Because that was a huge story today on Fox News in California, in your area.
Man. Wow.
So
well, and that certainly isn't the first serial killer you guys have had in your neck of the woods, right? Gacy.
No, there's lots. And I even have one here that they refuse to acknowledge we have. They've been killing. We've had five homeless guys end up dead within 8 blocks of my house over the last 5 years.
Oh, my God.
And nobody, it's been mentioned in these, you know, what's happening in the town pages, and but nobody, like, takes it seriously. And it's like, I think it's the crazy man, you know, that just moved, you know, he moved in at the same time. It's like, but nobody wants to, you know. But this stuff goes on all the time, all the time. And I'm thinking, actually, unless there is something to be gained from it, you don't hear about things. And some type of a motivation. So that's what I wanted to talk about, because I thought, you know what? Shame on me for poo-pooing everything you wanted to talk about. That's how we're going to do that. And we can spend forever talking about
it.
And the reason
that they're allowed to talk about Dahmer now is because they're making it a race issue. They're saying that, you know, that Dahmer moved into a predominantly black neighborhood because he thought that he could get away with doing crimes there easier. And and I really don't think that this is besides the fact that the police, I guess, let this guy go one time because, black people called the police lots and lots of times on Dahmer. But one time, there was one victim who was a 14-year-old boy that Dahmer lured into, this is kind of a common thing, lured into his apartment, you know, under the guise of, I'll give you $50 if you let me take naked pictures. So drugs this boy, actually lobotomizes him.
Exactly.
Still alive.
That's what I forgot about.
Still alive. This kid, stumbles out into the hallway, and some neighbors actually, get this blanket, this boy tucked up in a blanket, call the police. Dahmer's out of the house at this point. When Dahmer gets back, the police are there, and Dahmer says, he's my boyfriend. He gets wasted. Come into my house. I've got pictures here to prove that we're boyfriends, right?
Right.
So they go in and they see the pictures of this naked boy, and the police escort him back into the house, and a few hours later he died. And at this point, they're like, okay, so they're just believing the word of a white man over black people. Okay, I guess.
Actually,
at that point, Jeffrey Dahmer was already on a registered sex offender for molesting another 13-year-old.
Right.
They couldn't have even looked him up
black
on the list, on the sexual predator list?
This wasn't a black – that was a little Filipino that escaped.
Yeah.
That's why the question was, why didn't they know he was so young? Because he was Filipino. He was little, small, little, and that's why it was – I remember the story. It's always coming back to me. Like, there's so many intricate avenues to talk about this. But it wasn't.
But he was already he was already on the sex offender list. Dahmer at that point was already on the sex offender list for raping this kid's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Same family.
Mm-hmm.
And has already been convicted, went to jail for a year with work release, right? Just like Epstein. And it was this, and then just, a couple years later he rapes and murders another little boy. Not only that, this is why I'm saying it's not a race thing. Because Dahmer's were white, because he lived in a white neighborhood then, and so that's really the thing, is that it's just opportunity. Whoever is around, he was going to do what he was going to do. And he wasn't targeting these minorities because he didn't think that the police would get him. He was basically just attacking people that were in his general vicinity. So, that's that.
I'm going to look it up, but I'm going off my memory. The boy worked at a nursing home, and I want to say Dahmer was working at a nursing home. That's where he was operating within this community of kind of transient type of workers that he had access to. And this was the first time.
No, he went to gay bars and picked up most of them.
Did he what?
most of his victims at gay bars.
Gotcha. Okay. So his dream or his mission was he was trying to perform lobotomies on these guys so that they would never leave and they would be like his sex slaves. And
yeah,
that's so Frankenstein-like. And it's so, to, you know, fast forward now, what are they doing? They did pretty much want us mindless. You know, they're performing lobotomies via these pharmaceutical drugs in a society of non-thinkers. And it's just so, you know, where did that, it's like a Frankenstein-like type of fantasy that went into play. There's so much to that, what was going on with him, and it is just unreal when you really –
well, and it's
about.
Funny because
really,
in this
really
in this series, they really do make the dad out to be this, you know, although they do kind of blame the parents, they make him mm-hmm. out to be – the dad out to be more of a victim than I think that he is. Like, you end up – you know, ending the series feeling sorry for the dad, but I'm pretty sure
really?
That the dad was just his handler.
His handler? Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
I think he was molested as a child. I think he was programmed. I think he was an MK Ultra victim. Not victim, but, you know, but victim. I don't think anybody's born
oh.
that way. I don't, I think that level of monster is made.
Yeah. They I recall the mother was just not a nice woman at all, and there was lots of red flags in his childhood
yeah.
that you know the torturing of animals that went
right, and that was his dad. That was actually his dad and his hobby time is that they would go out and find roadkill and dissect it.
And taxidermy, right, or not? But, yeah. That's
yeah, just, they did taxidermy, yep.
Yep, I'm gonna do a little Google here. But, the more that I thought about it, I'm like, there are so many intricate, interesting things here. And, in Chicago, you know, at that time, you know, we've got, like, an endless plethora of court cases and lawsuits against the police and how they were operating and how they weren't doing the job at the time. And now precursor to now where they don't do it. It's like anybody could do anything and no one prosecutes. And people are left to investigate the, I guess there is a sex offender site online, but it's not like well known, but people have to take it upon themselves to find out where the creeps are in their neighborhood. And you would think that would be a
yeah,
public
yep.
service.
Yeah, looked it up.
You know? And it should have been,
yep.
yeah. And I'm just like, really? I had no idea. So they really are not, you know, cognitive. Or they don't even give a shit about our safety and our children. They just let these people out and, you know, it's you know, good luck.
Well,
good
exactly.
luck.
Exactly. You know, and this is something that I've said for a long time, that if it wasn't for the police being involved, we wouldn't have pedo-gate, right? Like, the police
mm-hmm.
definitely cover up for it.
Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, now, what do you remember about Gacy? Because Gacy was a big, big deal way back in the day. And, okay,
yeah.
This was in 78, between 78 and 91. So he got caught in 91. Yeah, because I was out west when he was murdered in prison. I remember when that happened. But, you know, with Gacy, there was a group of kids that idolized him and would visit him in prison. And,
yeah,
you know,
same thing with Dahmer.
Yeah, they were selling or buying up his artwork, and even they're members of a little rock band, and they are now back on tour, and they are what was it? Their claim to fame is they created a new type of music. It's called murder metal, And I'm just like, oh, is that just not disgusting? But instead of being horrified in a heinous crime like this, it was glamorized and idolized. And that's where I was like, you know, this is just not a good path to go down in society. But it wasn't even really talked about that much. A little bit in the news, but they're a local band, actually. And I was reading about them, and I just thought, oh, is this not, this is not, this is disturbing. And then it's like murder metal. You know, this is why way back in the day, it was kind of like when these kids first started shooting up the schools, what was their first general, their mode of operandi was they were disturbed young men that listened to this heavy metal music and dressed in black. And they were, you know, elusive loners, and then they went out and shot up these schools. And there was a big cry for, can we clean up our entertainment industry, you know? And then that got, because there were congressional hearings, remember that. And nothing was done about that. And even got, you know, they just, well, it's almost as if, no, that's working. This is what we want. And now you look at society, and the music industry is just, it's heinous what it's doing to our children and the message that's out there. But that was the first, and that should have been the first repugnant turnoff. It's like, no, this is, and now we're like, you know, in the land of, you know, defending murdering babies. It's your right to murder your babies. And I find it, you know, just to segue a little bit, another thing I was watching on the news is they're trying to crucify Herschel Walker because he paid for an abortion for his girlfriend. You know, coming from the Democrats who are, I find this entire thing to be so incredibly, what the fuck are you talking about? Aren't you the party that wants it to be, you know, your right of passion? It's our God-given right to have abortions, and now you're trying to crucify him for lying about paying for one? Do you not see where you don't have a leg to stand on in this argument at all? It fascinates me.
Yeah, no, I think they're trying to make him look like a hypocrite.
Because if he was, you know, if he would just support abortion, he'd be absolutely fine and a wonderful candidate. You know, that's where I find it to be absurd, that it's even an issue, but that's how far away from good thought that we are, a rational thought, I should say. But that goes, you know, this is, you know, 30, 40, 50 years after the fact that we didn't have these children that were worshiping Gacy and visiting him. It's like, can we put these kids under surveillance? You know, what is wrong with these kids? They need a little bit of help here. But no, they went on to become rock stars. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's gross.
It is.
So sad.
It is. Mm-hmm. But let me see a little bit more. I want to, because for some reason, this nursing home thing stands out in my head about him, and that's the Asian. Oh, mostly African-American. I don't see that. I don't remember that. And I'm wondering if they're not just picking, is this an opportunist type of thing to promote yet more racism in America off an old case? What is your thought on this?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're trying to do. The whole series is, you know, is wrapped around this idea that all of these victims would have been saved if it would have been in a white neighborhood. Even Reverend Jackson gets involved and goes out and campaigns for, campaign for the two officers that escorted the Laotian boy back into his Dahmer's house. They got suspended, and he pushed for that. To, you know, Reverend Jackson pushed for them to be suspended. They were reinstated and given Officers of the Year award that year, you know, and so that's what they're really trying to do. Yeah, is say that, you know, they if they would have been black, or if it would have been, you know, in a different situation, they would have been fired, you know, without pay and none of it. But because they were white cops, they would, that's kind of like the whole undertone is basically what I'm saying. Is
yeah.
That, this is a racist thing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So what was your, because I did, I cut you off at the knees and you had a whole different view of this. So I'm really anxious to hear what your take of this was.
Well, I think there's a lot of aspects that, of course, they're not going to tell us. I want to know more about his childhood. I know that his dad was a higher up in a scientist at Ohio State. Or affiliated in some way with Ohio State, got his son into Ohio State. A lot of people, shrug. The mom was on a lot of medications when she was pregnant with him. The first thing that they talk about, you know, in the series, the dad gets to the police station, finds out that his son is a serial killer, had no idea. And the first thing the dad says is, well, he had a surgery when he was like 5 years old. And we think that the anesthesia levels were wrong. And he just hadn't been himself after that procedure.
Oh, that's interesting.
Except I think that's a cop out. I think those people, I think his parents made him. I think his parents groomed him to be this way. Yes, medications can cause damage, but not the kind of damage that you end up, you know, killing and dismembering and eating your victims. That kind of stuff is not, oh, he had a surgery and didn't wake up right, you know. But, of course, that's their go-to, and everybody just kind of takes that as a, as the legit reason. But I think it was pedogate. I think that he was groomed. What?
Oh, I'm reading from this forensic psychologist, Eric Hinckley. They're talking about the cannibalism theory. And so here's the forensic psychologist, Hinckley, because they were also talking about Ted Bundy here. Cannibals tend to feel really insecure and can't have normal relationships. Eating their victims gives them a sense of power because their victims can never leave. This is so disgusting.
I don't buy that.
You could explain away this disturbing type of. Okay, there was no TV and there were no books to base anything upon, you know, you this goes back to the Frankenstein tale and then the vampires. This type of behavior, the eating of the blood and the dismembering, and where I go back to the don't put grapes up your nose. You never put grapes up your nose till you put that idea in the child's head. Oh, let me try this. You know, it's like where and why is this coming into the ether, into anyone's psyche, that this is something that would be an entertaining thing to do in the privacy of your own home, where I'm trying to grapple with, and to have this be a form of feeling insecure, and I don't think this, my goodness. I mean, because there are tribes in the Amazon that do this. I don't think it has anything to do with fear of intimacy type of thing. It's a base demonic type of practice.
Yeah. Well, and I think these people, like I said, were very much subjected to the worst kinds of trauma-based mind control as children. And, and there's even – Titus Frost did this really long, drawn-out, kind of boring, in my opinion, this woman. And I can't remember her name. I think it was an Asian woman.
Check this out.
Basically, all – What?
Oh, I'm just, what did Jeffrey Dahmer do for a living? Dahmer had a variety of jobs throughout his life. He joined the Army in 1979, but was discharged in 1981 when his alcoholism hindered his work as a medic. Interesting. So there is a segue for your MK Ultra, perhaps, because the government has been doing some heinous things for many, many years behind the scenes.
Yeah, David. Exactly.
So
let me get back to this live stream I was talking about. That basically it was just this woman reading from an FBI training manual, and so that's why I say it was kind of boring. And of course, this video got taken down. So maybe Titus Frost has a copy of it. He's on, you know, he's my friend on Facebook, so I can. I think I've got his number too. I'll see if I can get a copy of it. But it got really interesting to me when they when this training manual started talking about how to basically split personalities in children, how to create a horrific trauma based scene that they would split the personality, and so you know, they could go do government experiments just like the Kathy O'Brien kind of deal. But so they go into details on how they take a child from from birth until they're a couple of years old, and they give them all the love and all the care and all the tenderness and understanding and that parents would. Then they hand them off to another person, and this person beats them, rapes them, you know. And this is the first time that they'd ever experienced anything but a loving hand. Then the original handler, the one that gave them all the love and all the care, is reintroduced to the scene. And the child, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, this person's going to come and save me now. But then the original handler starts beating and raping the child. And that is how they get children to compartmentalize parts of their life, because this is something that is so, like, children can't understand what's going on. And so the only thing that they can do is, as a defense mechanism, is split off a personality that can, one part of it can deal with regular life and one part can deal with this darkness of their life, right? This trauma. And that's why a lot of, multiple personality victims were abused as, you know, brutally abused as children. Not all, but a lot of them experienced pretty, tremendous abuse as children. And this is part of an FBI training manual. So it's not like they just make up some, you know, scary ghost story, to keep FBI agents entertained while they're being trained. This is actually stuff that they encounter in their everyday lives, basically. There's also a chapter on satanic ritual abuse. And so people who are like, oh, well, that doesn't exist. That's not a real thing. Satan isn't real. Well, you know, some people really do believe it. And they, enough to where the FBI training manual has a chapter on satanic ritual abuse. Whether it's actually Satan that's doing it or whether it's just a horrible human being, it was enough of a thing and it happened enough times that it was part of a training manual. And it's just, this just shocked the hell out of me. And then they deleted the video. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
Why would they delete a video of somebody, just a woman, just reading a training manual?
Because we're not supposed to know about these things. Dahmer served he served in Germany when he was in the Army. I find that interesting. Interesting. So they take, and it's funny what they will hide from us and what they decide, this is what I want you to see. We aren't told anything about Dahmer. Why? And even, I mean, if you want to, it's so easy to whip up the fires of discontent with racism these days that you don't have to rehash a disgusting story like Jeffrey Dahmer in order to do that. There's plenty of things going on every day in Chicago now that would be just as good. So I'm wondering why, seriously, why they would do this. And then I find it to be just unbelievable that here, of all the crazy things in the world, this woman does almost exactly the, you know, the dismembering, the put into the freezer. In Chicago, it's like, wow, wow, wow. Right after everybody watched this damn movie. Like, oh, my God.
Right, exactly. Well, and I think it's some kind of a softer closure. There's been a series of these, you know, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime series, Dahmer, Jimmy Savile, Jeffrey Epstein, Nixia. You know, they've got these series. There's another one on Netflix now, John Wayne Gacy. They've got a Netflix series on him. You know, and so I think there's like this soft disclosure thing going on, you know, because honestly, like, normal people can't handle this kind of truth. Normal people can't handle the fact that not only do our children get molested and abused, but it's done by the pillars of society and the police cover up for it. There was another one that was The Keeper that talks about a Wisconsin Catholic high school that
lost just
brutally. Oh, can you hear me? You can't hear me? Hello?
Well,
hello.
As soon as you said the Keeper, it tuned out. So the new one's called The Keeper.
Well, this is an old one. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Hello?
Yeah.
And this is kind of an older one where it talks about a Catholic high school that raped a bunch of its students. And these priests, of course, get, you know, the Catholic Church covers up for them, moves them around after they get accused of rape. They move them to different locations and where the abuse can continue. This is a tale as old as time. You know, this is supposed to be the people that and in this documentary, they talk about how, you know, like one victim talks about how, you know, she is taken to a doctor by this priest after being raped, and a police officer is there in the room, and an OBGYN is there, and none of them report this. It's everywhere. You know, who do you trust? Who can you trust when it's so deep? There's the Larry Nassar thing, right? The gymnastics coach. It's in. Then there's the Boy Scouts of America that have the largest pedophile database in the world. You know, like it's everywhere that children are supposed to feel safe is where these demons take up residence. You know, it's gross. Oh, wow. We've got some people here raising their hands. I think this is Lily.
I think, that'd be great to see. Oh, Lily, miss her. But
hello.
You know,
I miss you, too.
Oh, it is
Lily.
Welcome
back.
Hi.
My world traveler, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. I was just going to say that. Oh, cool. But we've been living on a diet of entertainment of the zombie apocalypse, the zombies, the Walking Dead. That's all about just, you know, it's been entertainment. And now we go from entertainment into here's the reality. And it's like this constant diet of death and dismemberment. And it's not good for the human psyche. And it seems to be.
It's not good for the human psyche, but it's also not good for the human race to ignore it.
I think we need to focus on. We need to shift gears. We can all say, yes, this has happened, and it's happening too much, but let us turn away from evil and go in another direction, and let's focus on what humans really should be doing and what we're really capable of instead of the hideous, horrible things that also we are capable of. It's almost like, you know, you are what you eat. And we are just in such a low, horrible place as society. If this, and I didn't even realize that The Walking Dead, that's all, it's exactly this.
I have to say that was a little tactless. You are what you eat, when we're talking about Dahmer. I'm just saying.
And that was not a Freudian slip, but that was, you know, what you consume, you become. You know, we need to start eating better as a society, spiritually, mentally, every which way. Because
okay,
we are,
all I'm picturing is body parts in the freezer. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Lordy, I don't know. Well, I just want to
say, Lily, Mom, let's start with Lily. Lily, do you have any thoughts on the topic?
Well, in regard to that, you are what you eat. We should have already been making friends with our local farmers, but if we haven't, then we really should now, because studies have been coming out recently. They have vaccinated a lot of the livestock, you know, with that COVID-19 thing, and so now it's being passed into milk and cheese and meat that we are consuming that have the vaccine. And so so when we are what we eat, we have to pay a little more attention to what we're eating.
And they try to sneak whatever they can into wherever. I'm just going to just iterate this one other thing that I find to be a little, I don't know, suspect when you think about it. Do you remember the Dahmer Party? The Dahmer Party was that group of pioneers that got caught, and they froze to death, but they ate each other. That's how they survived. And then segue 100 years into the future, you have Jeffrey Dahmer.
Holy shit. I wonder if that wasn't their original last name.
Seriously, you know what? I don't know. I think that we're being led along with, you know, here's a stick this way. Come over here. Come over. I don't think they even suspect that for us to ever connect the dots. We're only supposed to focus upon what they're telling us now. But we can look into it, but I don't know. Let's look. How would we find out? Let me. That would be like the first thing that would be like sensationalized would be that he is the, you know, 14th great-grandson of this Dahmer, you know? But I don't know if we can find this out or not. But,
Mom, do you have any
thoughts? That's really interesting.
Hold it, yeah. Well, so it is the Donner, D-O-N-N-E-R, party that ate each other going over the hill. So Dahmer and Donner are not the same thing. But
they're very, very similar and close for the subliminal message.
People changed their name. Yes, they did back in the day when they were coming into the country. So thoughts on saving the children, always. First and foremost. So one of the things that happened during the quote-unquote Great Awakening is regular people began to understand that this was actually happening and that there were powerful people harvesting our children. And it's what I believe changed the course of history. And so what happened over the last 7 years is, okay, so people woke up to it. They came to that startling, mind-numbing, intensely terrifying conclusion. And then once people, on the quote-unquote other side, those that were harvesting these children had to fast-track what they were doing. And as Lily says, now they're, you know, we watched it happen with COVID. We watched it happen with the vaccine. And if for those of us that have resisted to our detriment, they're still cashiering soldiers out of our military for refusing the vaccine, nurses, doctors, police, firefighters, okay? And so Lily, it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to get this vaccine into us any way they can, because I believe it's a bioweapon, just like COVID. That's my opinion.
Yes.
And so if they can't get it into us one way, okay, pure bloods, they're going to do it any way they can. And it's really scary. But so back to the sort of umbrella, who are these people and what is their goal? Their goal is demonic. And you know, we have, you know, I think can come to an agreement on that. They want to have control. They want slaves. They want to enslave us. And they want to kill us. Those that won't bend the knee. And it's terrifying, but it's also very enlightening and empowering. And I think that they, as far as the children are concerned, they are indoctrinating and propagandizing. I have a bunch of stories today that are going to hit every single one of these marks. Do you know that there's been a 562% increase of people, children, young children, coming out as having their gender, they want to change their gender? That's never happened before. Just like that 1,000% increase in autism in our children. Okay, so they've had to accelerate what they're doing because more people are becoming aware of it. And of course, you know, typical demonic, they want to do all this stuff in secret, and they were taking a slower track over the last, you know, 100 years. So they have had to speed up their harvest. Yep. I don't know, you know, that's just my opinion, but there's tons of evidence to support it. I'm not just making wild-ass accusations. There's lots of stuff to back it up.
Well, they're at an end of an age, so they've run out of time.
They have run out of time, haven't they, Lily? And guess what?
Yeah, they're at the end of their age that they were given to reign and to do all of this nonsense that they've done. You know, so now they're actually panicking. Like I realize that it seems as though they're not and they're trying to make us panic. But truly, they're the ones panicking because they've run out of time to get all of their things done. And they thought that more of us would, you know, just blindly follow along as we have in the past. And they underestimated their own technology, in my opinion, because they, you know, they build these things to use against us, and they assume that it'll always work. And humans are pretty cool. Like, we have this knack for being able to take something like Facebook that was made by DARPA, you know, to data mine and social engineer the people, and we utilize it in a way that allows us to find our own people and share the truth, you know, and give people platforms to have a voice. And it's really a beautiful thing. You know, so I don't know. All the things that they try to do don't seem to work in their favor. And then the things that do work, not enough of us are willing to participate in. And so I think that that's why they're panicking. I really think that they thought they would be able to get so many more of us with that vaccine, you know, and it just hasn't gone that way for them.
And it's weird too, because there's so many, what is it, like 70% of the planet is taking it? Am I wrong on that statistic?
I think you're wrong on that statistic.
I think that's what I've read.
That they'd like you to believe that.
I think that's what they want us to think. I still think it's still around like 49, 59.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I know at least three people who have fake COVID cards.
I agree, Elizabeth, that it's right around 49% of the world's population.
Yeah.
There were countries that refused to take it. There's a couple of African countries and that said no, that they would not be vaccinated. Their president stood up for them.
So,
yeah.
And they were assassinated.
Wow.
Yes, but yes.
Well, I've seen a meme going around that says, not one of us, not none of us regret not taking it. And
exactly.
And I feel that for sure.
So,
yes.
You know what? I don't want to sidetrack
all the servicemen, all the police officers, all the fire department that walked away and they never came back. And they still don't want to talk about that. And those were, it was almost
bit closer to home. I was talking to your Aunt Cindy today, and I know that this sounds a little silly to bring this up on the radio program, but it's sort of a microcosm of what we're talking about. So I'm a little worried for them because they took the vaccine. And I said, Cindy, they're killing people. And I said, I'd like for you and Larry to go and have your get a checkup on your heart. And what she said was, I know. Now, if you knew anything about my family, about my sister, she was trying to talk Danielle and I into getting the vaccine. And we refused, right? And, you know, she's like, oh, you're listening to conspiracy theories, la, la, all that stuff that people do or did back then. And today she said, I know. And she said, but we're not taking the boosters. Nope. So the word is getting out there. Yes, the word is. So for someone, if you knew my sister, she was, you know, trained to be a nurse and, you know, she's sort of, quote, unquote, the medical advisor for our family. And she, you know, we've tried to talk to her about different things that we think and believe, Danielle and I both, and she has resisted. But today she said, I know. And keep in mind, they're trying to prevent us from finding out about the deaths connected to these vaccines.
Yeah.
But if my sister is hearing it and refusing the boosters, it's getting out there. So, Elizabeth, to your point, I think it's a lot less people that took these vaccines, certainly a lot less people that took the boosters, thank goodness. And so you would call them not fully vaccinated because it wears off very quickly. But one of the things that they're finding is that it goes directly at the heart. Obviously, the second most important organ of our body, which is really scary. Also, to Lily's point, they released the, and I'm going to read what it's called because I don't understand the name too much, but they released, you said the technology isn't as good as they think it is, Lily, and also that we use that technology back against them. They released the Pfizer lot and dose data. So you can find out where your shot was manufactured and the deaths and injuries associated with it. So I can post that on the Seeds of Change website if you guys would be interested in. I don't necessarily know how to read it, but I want to tell you what they're saying about it. So this is the Pfizer lot and dose data release. Download Pfizer COVID-19 lot numbers and dose data obtained by ICANN, which ICANN is, I'll tell you in a second, ICANN through FOIA. Adverse vaccine events exposed by court order. Share this with all non-believers. Pfizer lot and dose was released, and this way you can specifically target which lot your dose of the vaccine was from, and so be able to when and it will, when they start to go after Pfizer and Moderna, to be able to prove that you were specifically injured by their vaccine, which is kind of cool. Go get them, guys.
That's very cool. It's interesting that they almost never bring up Moderna anymore. You know, like I always hear Pfizer and nothing about Moderna. And I was trying to find more things on Moderna, and I was having a hard time finding them too because my stepdad, that's the brand that he chose for his vaccine, and he's been having heart issues, and he has an arrhythmia now, and he has a small aneurysm in his brain that they're monitoring.
Okay, so Lily.
But he, of course, is fully convinced that it's not the vaccine.
Of course. So it's ICANN, and the words are Informed Consent Action Network. So maybe you could go there to ICANN. I would imagine they're not just investigating Pfizer. They're probably investigating Moderna as well. So again, that's ICANN, Informed Consent Action Network. Go
Thanks,
get them,
Carly,
Mama.
You're the best.
I am.
You are.
Okay. So I did.
And
I
so
got
modest.
My little soapbox. And I'm so modest, too, and humble. So I got on my soapbox. Of course, it's all about saving the children. They're giving these freaking vaccines to two-year-olds. This is all part of their nasty plan, their great reset. They can call it whatever they want, but it's still just demonic. Okay, they want to kill us, and if they can't kill us, they're going to enslave us. And these are the ways and means that they do it. They want to indoctrinate our children. I've got article about a Congress critter in Virginia saying that if a parent objects to a gender change that's been indoctrinated by the freaking groomers at the school, that she's going to be able to imprison them. They want to pass a bill, take their children from them, and imprison the parents for objecting to this sort of gender ideology that they're being propagandized to.
They've made it trendy.
If you are under medical tyranny, you need to repeat that, because this is all Big Pharma putting all of this.
Yep. Yep.
Being backed by the hormones that they're going to be prescribing, the endless surgeries. This is medical tyranny.
Yes, it's medical tyranny. And if they can't get them one way, they're going to get them another. They're talking about the state taking your children from you so that they can mutilate them because they've been propagandized by a freaking groomer in their classroom. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. That's exactly why I homeschool.
No. Yes, that's why you homeschool. Good. No, you're not allowed to use that word on the internet, are you, Danielle? You're not even allowed to use the word groomer. They'll
nope.
Cancel you for that.
I was really proud of the gay community because, they've been being used for these agendas. I remember when they passed that legislative bill in California legalizing pedophilia as long as they were within, I think it was 10 years of an age difference, which is still insane if you think of, somebody who's 17 and someone who's 7, right? But the point was, they said that this was a bill for gay men to be supportive of them because they were unfairly being imprisoned for dating younger men, and adolescents couldn't find people, and it was really gross. And they passed it.
Yes.
And, now they have created, Gays Against Groomers, and they've come out saying, none of us are offended by the word groomer, and you shouldn't feel offended by it unless you, in fact, are participating
exactly.
in grooming behavior, in which case you should be placed in prison. And I was really proud of them, because I was, wondering when they were, when a group of them were going to come out and say anything, because for a while nobody was, and then we were being called, homophobic, for not supporting these types of legislation. And then, now they've come out with quite a large group, actually, on Twitter and Facebook, I think. Maybe Instagram, but I'm not on Instagram. Speaking out against these things and saying, you need to stop using our community, to harm the children, because most gay people do not want to harm your children. But they frame these bills in such a way, that then if you are not for them, you know, they can just say, well, we don't have to listen to you because you just don't like gay people, or you, you know, don't like trans people, or you're racist, like whatever term they decide to use.
Yes.
Yeah,
and, you know,
so I am really proud of them.
I saw this, I don't know, a little post on the fact that having a trans child is the new Gucci handbag for all of these liberal, progressive women. And it's like, you know, that is just a symptom of how non-thinking, so shallow our society, we've been like this, you know, this is like the 80s comeback. I used to say, where's the 80s? We don't want the 80s because it was shallow, non-thinking. And yes, this is my status symbol. I'm so cool. I'm so inclusive. I'm so with the gay community. I have a trans daughter, trans son. And it's like, we just don't have any idea what we're doing.
I agree.
It is true.
Exactly.
They've made it very trendy.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, Gays Against Groomers got their PayPal taken away for standing up against it.
Yes.
And it really, really bugs me because, you know, I've always strongly supported the gay community. And you know, like I said earlier, there are no groups of people out there that are exempt from me being suspicious of pedophilia, including the gays. Even though they say that it's a, you know, a trope, a homophobic trope to say that all gay people want to have sex with children, it's not what I'm saying at all, you know. But I will pipe up when I see comments of people saying, oh, look, this is Nazi propaganda saying that the gays are molesting children. And I'm like, no, can't do it. I'm not going to support this. Pedophilia is in every community. You don't just get to relax, you know, because you think that your community is exempt. Same thing with the Catholic Church.
Right.
The Catholic Church is not, they don't say that, you know, that pedophilia is okay in the Catholic Church. Yet they've got it, right? So is it, you know, anti-religious, anti-religion to accuse them of raping children when they know that they are? You know, why are the gays exempt from this?
Why?
Right, nobody is. I just was happy that they came out against it because, you know, like they've been really using their community. You know, they've been using their community to harbor pedophiles, to pass legislation, pretending that it's for gay people and not pedophiles, you know, like those kinds of things. So I was just, I wasn't saying that you can't possibly be a pedophile if you're gay, but, you know, or that being gay makes you one either, like, which I know that you don't think either of those things, but it was good that they came out against it because, you know, like I had several conversations with friends where I was telling them, you know, like, you guys have got to say something, you know, because otherwise people are going to come after your entire community, all of you, you know, like because your community is harboring these things and appears to be promoting and supporting these things, you know, and if you don't, you know, like come out and make a point of saying that this is not acceptable, you know, then people will come for all of you. And it would be fair to come for all of them if they weren't saying anything, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Anymore, or are they just an alphabet soup? I think they've hijacked the entire movement of human civil rights with this.
Yeah,
you know, now everybody, you know, they've thrown unicorns and Furbies and LMNOPQR. You know, it's not even people who are, you know, private in their sexuality are like, what the hell kind of dystopian nightmare are we living in now? And the fact that you know who you're being ruled by the who you cannot criticize. And it used to be given to the Jews and given to this and given to that. And now it goes directly into the medical pharmaceutical company, which really it seems to be running the world governments at the moment. And you cannot say boo against their new agenda of
transhumanism and changing God's design. It's amazing how quickly that has changed, too. You cannot dare criticize the narrative.
Yes.
It was COVID, but now it is, no, your doctor knows better which hormone your child should have and which way they should walk. And, yeah, it's very scary, I believe.
Well, and, you know, they propagandize it against people speaking the truth because, I mean, with COVID, you know, like with that vaccine, they wanted to offer it to the tribes first with the lie that it would protect the elders and preserve the language, right? And so tons of tribes, not like entire tribes, but majorities of some tribes, you know, like got very, very angry when people told the truth about the vaccine because they felt like they were finally being recognized by the government, right, and cared about because they wanted to save their language. And then they said that, you know, like people of color, yeah, like why would we trust the government? I have no idea because my own tribe, some of them turned their back on me, like, and called me a racist. And it was very confusing because I stood on front lines with them and got shot in the back and then went and did it again. But then I was racist for telling them the truth. And now, you know, a lot of them have eaten crow and came and talked to me about it. And it's fine. Like, I don't care. But it's just sad because the damage is already too late. You know, like there's nothing I can do for them this time.
And this time they wanted, I want more blankets, please. And I want them now. I can't believe they fell for that and wanted it. But they were the most easily manipulated to do this. They were with the masks and the vaccines. And I'm like, why are you listening to this?
I think I understand why, though, because for a long time I could not figure out, you know, like why would they fall for this or allow it? And I think the simple reason is unhealed intergenerational trauma because of plagues, right? Like Native people are terrified of plagues, you know, obviously because of smallpox and, you know, like different viruses that were brought and intentionally passed to them, you know, and so they were so stuck in fear of the intergenerational trauma of a virus that they were told was going to kill everyone, you know, that they just didn't critically think at all. Because, you know, I was like very confused and I couldn't fathom, like, why would my people that hate the government and we just like basically warred against the government at Standing Rock, right? It wasn't even 10 years ago. And, you know, and this just happened and we were attacked and by the military and everything else. Why would they trust the government, you know? And I think that after, like, speaking with a couple of elders and trying to figure out why this was, it makes a lot of sense to me that, you know, they were just so stuck in fear because, you know, there's not much work being done to heal intergenerational trauma, especially on the reservations, you know? Like, and it's really sad, but it's just not, you know, like, it's not a priority for anyone on the res that has money anyway.
But you lost all of your knowledge of healing. I mean, I know more about natural healing than any of these people in these tribes that I'm friends with. I'm like, how do you not know about these things? This came from your people. And they all that knowledge is annoying. And, you know, blindly going towards medicine. I'm like, oh, that blew me away. It blew me away.
Yeah, it was really sad. And then it was the same, you know, with, like, the African-American community or whatever, dark skin, whatever you want to call them, because there's, like, 8 million PC terms, and they, yeah, so I never know. But anyway, you know, like, they were told that they were going to die at a higher rate than light-skinned people, you know, so they were more afraid. And so then you were racist if you weren't afraid of the virus or you didn't want the vaccine, you know? And so it's just been this really weird tool of division that they've been very successful, sadly, at using, you know, like because we still categorize each other and ourselves based on what the media tells us, you know, that we've always been enemies, even though that's not the case. And the people who were alive that remember us not being enemies, of course, have passed on now. And so, you know, like, it's really unfortunate because it makes it very hard to unite, you know, and now we've got I mean, I'm the only light-skinned person in my neighborhood, and everybody in this neighborhood is vaccinated, and all of their friends and family are, you know, and so it's really, really sad because I don't know, like, how do we unite with all of these people that are vaccinated that can be mind-controlled, you know? Like, I don't know the answer to
that. Well, that's the thing is I stay far, far away from them, no matter
how
many
you and me both.
Well,
I've seen them. Like, their eyes change and their faces change and then their behavior changes. They forget who they are. It's very creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. This was mRNA, which is genetic DNA replicating to change the DNA. It manipulated it.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't trust it. But back to, the, you know, they would never have been able to do this if they hadn't segregated us, and not segregated us, but roped us off from our elders.
Divided.
They locked them up. We were not allowed to get to them. That's where the knowledge was. They would have all told us this was bullshit. And that was brilliant that they had us all the way from anyone who had any life experience. Boom. They were locked away and they killed them. And I lost our thinking caps. We're not straight to bought into this just at all.
Right. I'll never forget one of Aiden's teachers early on in the pandemic, English teacher actually, and it was a dark skinned male. He would do these virtual learning sessions, right? So the Zoom meetings for school, right? So meaning he was the only person in the classroom. All the other students were gone and virtual learning. And this man always came to class in a mask, sitting alone in a classroom, nobody else around, and he had a mask on. To make it worse, he had a Tuskegee University Burgee in the background. And the irony was not lost on me, you know, and the things that the government has done to that particular community of people, right? And so to see
I'm going to say he was paid to do
all
it.
For this.
These people are being paid to train us. I mean, even to this day, if you pan out on the audience of these ridiculous daytime shows, the entire audience is muzzled like a bunch of little wild animals. And they are trying to train us. And I don't think anyone in their right mind would have been on a Zoom call for any long length of time. Even they did that with our school board meeting, and our superintendent was the only one. There was another one. And it's like, you're in your office by yourself on a Zoom call. Take your mask off, Mr. Virtue Signaler. He couldn't breathe. After about 20 minutes, he's dying and trying to drink. And it's like, oh, this is interesting. Keep it on, Tony. Keep it on. But they were paid for this agenda to get us trained. This is how it's done. Yeah. Oh, my God. This whole thing, I hate. Oh, I'm so mad. I'm so mad over this. I really am. Hey, I want to tell you that the Burgermeister of the Midwest has signed, and I thought it was gone, his executive order. We're all under an emergency. And interestingly enough, it's the exact same executive order as we've had for the last almost 3 years, but they crossed out the masks because we completely denigrated them in courts. Or the masks, but we're under a COVID emergency in Illinois till next month. I couldn't believe you did it.
Well, it's a federal emergency
so
now, too. Still.
So good, Chris. And before,
well,
and,
really
and there was
like,
no,
good news
it wasn't even in the news.
You guys hear it.
I found out, I'm surprised you did it right before
the
election.
Yeah, it is 4 o'clock. So let's see the news.
But it's not being talked about anywhere. It's just in secret.
Yeah. All right, time for good news on that note.
Yay. So I have a ton of good news today. I'm excited to share it. And then, of course, you know that I'm going to go run outside and feed my chickens after I get done with my good news report. But Elizabeth I want to ask you a question. Could you tell me again what you just said? What happened in Illinois with the executive order? Because I wasn't clear.
Yes. There's a few of us that have these little pages. This is one guy who does a sports page for Illinois because he wants the kids to play sports. He was the first one that found out that Pritzker has declared an emergency with COVID for Illinois. And he put out the map. There's not one county in the entire state that has it's low, moderate, and high. We're all at low because it is allergy season. There is no yellow and there is no red. So therefore, we don't have to have the mitigating masks and closures and quarantines and things, because they put that all on the back burner. They said, if the numbers ever go high, we need to do this again. So I don't have to do this. It was every week we have to say that we spit in a cup in order to go to work if you're not vaccinated for the last 3 years. They stopped doing that because the executive order ran out. I was like, and he didn't re-sign it? Oh, it must be time for the election. Thank God. So weeks have gone, 3 weeks went by, and then all of a sudden we're hearing murmurs. I'm like, God, are you going to fearmonger this? Don't do this. And then the next day, I'm talking to my sister. She looks it up. She goes, yes. I had to go down 20 pages to find the wherefore as and henceforth and blah, blah, blah. He did 87 executive orders. This is, I can't remember which one. It's close to 134. Is exactly like every month he just pushed a button, signed the paper, and we're still in COVID emergency as it was from day one.
California,
but
too.
The only thing that changed was went down by when everyone needs to wear masks in the schools, in the federal buildings, in the PACE buses. It's all the poor people. Poor people, hospital people, nursing homes have to. They never had those orders lifted. But that entire sentence and section was crossed out because we won in the courts. That he was sued.
Right.
And the judge said this is the type of evil that the law was made for, this type of tyranny. But I found it interesting that everything else is okay, and he's ruling by fiat again 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the election. Awful, a lot of arrogance. But it hasn't been talked about on the local news anywhere. I just found it out. And it is. It's on their website. So, and then I heard murmurs that Joe Biden said that, oh, sorry, COVID is back. And I found out that there is a slush fund. Every state had billions of dollars that is still in their banks and they can't touch because I think Schumer or Grassley, somebody made a stipulation in a law that they can't take the COVID money and spend it towards their coffers of taxes and pensions and whatnot. It has to only be for COVID. But since COVID's not really running rampant anymore, all this money's sitting. And
always follow the money,
later, COVID's coming back, so they can use all of their COVID money now. I couldn't believe it.
So where I'll start with the good news. This may be what they are, quote, unquote, basing it on. Here it is, just in time for the midterms. The nightmare COVID variant that beats our immunity is finally here. The XBB subvariant of Omicron appears to be the fastest growing COVID virus yet, and most of our treatments don't touch it. Are you afraid? Be afraid. Okay, so here it is. This is an article in the Daily Beast. Of course, it says a new subvariant of the novel coronavirus called XBB dramatically announced itself earlier this week in Singapore. New COVID-19 cases more than doubled in a day, from 4,700 on Monday to 11,700 on Tuesday, and XBB is almost certainly why. A highly mutated descendant of the Omicron variant of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that drove a record wave of infections starting around a year ago, XBB is in many ways the worst form of the virus so far. It's more contagious than any previous variant or subvariant It also evades the antibodies from monoclonal therapies. So here we go. So be afraid, okay? It's coming.
Is it more deadly too?
You, yeah, they didn't. No, they never say that. It's just scary.
No, they did it first. But that's an oxymoron. You cannot have something that is more, that is. That's not how viruses work. You can't have something that is more deadly and more contagious. It's one or the other. And I think they backed off on that now. So now they're just not saying anything about the deadliness, right?
Exactly. So in the entire Daily Beast article did not mention mortality one time. Just be afraid. Okay.
Well, that's because no one's dying from these things. And we're all supposed to be sequestered and under all these stipulations for the sniffles.
But they throw in that it's going to beat our natural immunity. Whatever. Okay, so Lily, this one's for you. They call him Red Pope Francis, not just Pope Francis, but Red Pope Francis, calls for a new economic system that guarantees food, health, economic, and social rights. This came out on October 16th. Pope Francis says that the world and its institutions require material changes to create a new economic system that creates food, health, economic, and social rights for all. And so Jim Hoft, the Gateway pundit, comes back at him and says, socialism hasn't destroyed enough, and so Pope Francis is calling for what seems to be socialism around the world. Pope Francis says reform the United Nations was more than obvious after the COVID-19 pandemic and the Ukraine war exposed its limits in an extract of his new book published Sunday. The Argentinian pontiff said Russia's February invasion of Ukraine highlighted the need to ensure the current multilateral structure, especially the UN Security Council, finds more agile and effective ways of resolving conflicts. So Church is getting ready to jump into taking over the world, which they've been involved in that, I think, for a while now. So let's see, where was I going? So a bunch of stuff this week happened with, where is it? I always will start off with Seth Rich, if I possibly can. And where is my article about Seth Rich? Here it is. So we have long suspected, all of us, that Seth Rich's murder was had to do with the CrowdStrike business with the DNC. And the inference is that they said that the DNC had been hacked in order to hand the nomination to Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders, okay? So here we are. So if you remember, I think it was last week where they were ordered, was it last week or the week before where I told you that the FBI was ordered to hand over Seth Rich's laptop, and which all of us kind of chuckled that 6 years later, a supposed botched robbery of a young man in Washington, D.C., and the FBI still has his laptop. First of all, why would they have it to begin with? It was just a botched robbery. We come to find out the FBI was ordered to turn it over because of a FOIA request, and here we go. We're back at it. The FBI is still trying to withhold the records about Seth Rich and CrowdStrike. Now they're in the same sentence. So even though they were ordered last week to turn it over, here's an update. Surprise, surprise, the FBI is dragging its feet. Yesterday, the government asked for more time to respond to U.S. District Judge Amos Mazant's September 29th order directing the FBI to produce all records related to this. Relatedly, the FBI is withholding three reports produced by CrowdStrike in August of 2016 regarding the purported hack of the Democrat National Committee. First, the laptop. The FBI wants two more weeks so it can prepare a motion for reconsideration. As a courtesy, we have not objected to the request. This is Ty Clevenger, who's the one that's been fighting all this time to get this laptop. So
So that's why he's using the word we. As a courtesy, we have not objected to the request. According to the government's motion, the FBI is uncertain how to comply with the court's order as written. And the FBI is seeking input from a pending appellate consultation regarding the order to properly address the issue. The order itself is pretty straightforward, at least with respect to Seth's personal laptop, because it directs the FBI to produce the information it possesses related to Seth Rich's laptop and responsive to plaintiff's FOIA request within 14 days of this order. On the other hand, the order does not discuss Seth's work laptop. Let me read that again. On the other hand, the order does not discuss Seth's work laptop, which is also in the possession of the FBI. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't.
There we go. I'm waiting for the FBI to explain what it thinks needs clarified. Then I may be filing my own motion for clarification. Meanwhile, the FBI has cited only one narrow basis for withholding the records related to Seth's laptop, singular, namely his privacy. I'm not sure why it takes 4 weeks and an appellate lawyer to figure out why the judge did or didn't get that issue right. In any event, I'm reminded of something that I learned almost 30 years ago when I was a newspaper reporter. People with nothing to hide don't try to hide nothing.
Right.
So there we go. So they're back at it again, and then we find out something new, that they also have Seth Rich's work computer, which I find fascinating. This time now we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the courts this week. John Durham has the Danchenko trial going on. Igor Danchenko. He was an informant with the FBI, it turns out, for a very long time, okay? And so if you guys don't know who Igor Danchenko is, he was, according to Christopher Steele, the source for the Russian information that was used against Trump for the first four years of his presidency. The dossier, I couldn't think of the word, thank you. John Durham unmistakably put the FBI on trial alongside its Russian collusion informant. With probing questions and relentless redirects, prosecutor exposes FBI for omissions, deletions, peculiar lack of curiosity, and a $1 million bounty to pursue Trump. Igor Danchenko is the named defendant at this week's trial, charged with lying as an informant in the now discredited Russia collusion investigation. But with probing questions and searching redirects, Special Counsel John Durham has turned the Russian researcher's trial in a U.S. District Courtroom in Alexandria, Virginia, into an expose of stunning FBI failures and omissions in its now infamous pursuit of Donald Trump for crimes that turn out to be non-existent. So we all know that Hillary Clinton spawned it. We have testimony now, though, to that effect. While Hillary Clinton spawned Russia collusion narrative has been the subject of half a dozen exhaustive investigations in the House, Senate, and Justice Department, Durham has managed to use his third and widely assumed last trial to drop bombshell after bombshell that other inquiries failed to uncover. Even the most versed in this case have been stunned. The efforts began during pretrial motions. Danchenko, the primary source for the now debunked Steele dossier, was someone who had both lied to the FBI agents and had troubling ties to Russian intelligence. But Durham revealed he was inexplicably hired by the Bureau, despite that record, to be paid as a confidential source, human source, for 3 years. Then next, Durham got an FBI senior analyst, Brian Auchin, to reveal that the FBI had been unable to confirm a single fact in this Steele dossier by mid-October 2016, but nonetheless grabbed some of its most sensational claims about Trump and stuck them into a FISA warrant marked verified. Let's see. So they have that on the record as well, that they knew that it was baloney when they took it in front of the court, which we've all known that, but now it's been testified to. So during this week, though, apparently there were some other bombshells it appears that Attorney General Garland blocked Special Counsel Durham from bringing criminal conspiracy charges against former FBI officials Comey and McCabe. Now, the government, if there are charges or if there's a suit, the government has to agree to allow itself to be sued. They have immunity. So that's why Garland will be probably be able to get away with this. So we'll see. What else?
Can I remind you that he almost was a Supreme Court justice?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I
kind of scary.
I know.
Very scary. And it makes you wonder what's behind the scenes in the Supreme Court, too. But, you know, today's news blew all this away, Carla. Did you watch it? They had a he's on the head of a foreign some committee, not the foreign relations. But they have so many whistleblowers. So many, yes, so many come through, and they have just a plethora of dirt from the good guys that work in the FBI of what they've been doing.
Yes.
And they are going to blow these people out of the water with the congressional hearing. Why are you doing this? I can't wait.
They're taking testimony daily from the whistleblowers that are finally coming
I know.
Forward.
And I wonder if this doesn't have to do with Seth also, because – you know, that's such
of
an old story. The laptops? I'm surprised it didn't.
But none of it's been resolved. Oh. So we're getting there. So here we go. The New York Post said today, and this is an editorial from the editorial board from the New York Post, the FBI framed Trump and saved Hunter Biden. It's time to clean house for good. It's coming. Denial is no longer possible. FBI headquarters not only pumped up the Russiagate scandal, knowing none of the evidence held up, it then turned around to help deep six actual evidence of Hunter Biden crimes that tainted now President Joe Biden ahead of the 2020 election. The latest revelations come from Special Counsel John Durham's prosecution of Steele dossier gopher Igor Danchenko. Specifically, disgraced FBI analyst Brian Auten testified that the FBI dangled $1 million for Christopher Steele to verify at least part of the package of allegations against President Donald Trump, all of which we now know came from Danchenko's water cooler gossip. The FBI was on a Hail Mary quest to verify the dossier, even as it was touting this specious material as evidence of Trump's Moscow misdeeds and get the FISA warrant. But do you guys remember during the Mueller investigation or when they finally went on record, Mueller kept saying that the dossier was not part of what he was trying to do. Apparently, they spent practically the entire time during the Mueller investigation trying to do exactly that. That's pretty much all they did. So that was a lie as well. Apparently, where is it? Damn it. Now I can't find it.
Oh, you found it?
I didn't find it yet. I might have closed that one.
A little Rocky Horror picture show trivia. Damn it, Janet. I love it. That's my favorite phrase.
I have the story. Danielle will probably send it to me, but if you remember when it all came down to it, when they said no collusion, right, and Trump holds up the newspaper and says, you know, not guilty, no collusion, when they got Mueller on the stand after they put us through hell for two frickin' years, almost three frickin' years, certainly through a midterm election, okay, he said that the dossier had nothing to do with him. It wasn't part of his purview. Not in my purview, not in my purview, not in my purview. He answered, he lied on the stand because apparently practically the entire time they were investigating Trump, they were investigating the dossier. They couldn't verify any of it. So keep in mind, all of these people knew that it was bullshit and they anyway. And I'm pissed, and I think they're going to be made to pay one day. Just my opinion. Okay, election fraud. True the vote. True the vote. Apparently provided to the Arizona's AG's office the okay, so remember when, after 2,000 mules, they said that they were going to release the information or provide the information to law enforcement agencies all over the country. And with the data from each specific state about where the fraudulent ballots were dropped, okay? And they did in Arizona. They gave it directly to a gentleman named Mark Bronovich. And then now they're saying that they don't have it and that they went right to the AP, the Associated Press, and said it's all bullshit. Bronovich did. So True the Vote wrote a letter to the AG office and said the letter sent by the Arizona's AG office and simultaneously released to media is false and smacks of retribution for the AG's own decision to ignore suspicious voting activity. Indeed, True the Vote's first meeting with the AG's team was on June 3rd, 2021. After receiving no feedback, True the Vote followed up by filing a complaint with the state of Arizona on March 28, 2022, and followed up with multiple meetings with state investigators. To True the Vote's surprise, they later learned that these investigators violated the confidentiality that should have been afforded to informants in an ongoing criminal investigation by the AG's office, releasing to the media the identity of private citizens who had provided information. So he's dirty, Mark Bronovich, all this time, and he's been playing against them. So they wrote a letter to the state of Arizona. Mark Bronovich should be in jail. Let's see what else. Oh, so there's been an arrest already by a gentleman named Eugene Yu, spelled Y-U, last name. And now all over the United States, there are AGs looking at what happened. And yes, our data was being sent to China. Right now they're saying it's poll workers only, but apparently it's voter rolls and military information as well was going out from this guy's server that was connected directly to our voting system. Let's see. So we're going to get them. We do have a Democrat in Colorado who is being asked to withdraw from his race after a blackmail story. The Colorado Republican Party has called for Democrat Adam Frisch, who's running against Representative Lauren Boebert in Colorado, to drop out of the race following the unacceptable facts of blackmail exposed by Breitbart News. The blackmail story started something like this. It was written by Breitbart News Matthew Boyle, showing a man who owned a taxi service and a storage facility in Aspen, Colorado, claiming to have blackmailed the high-profile Democrat congressional candidate with surveillance footage of him showing up to a storage facility unit to allegedly have an affair. The business owner, a man named Todd Gardner, alleges on video shown to Breitbart News that he successfully blackmailed Frisch, then a city councilman in Aspen, Colorado, into changing his vote on the Aspen City Council regarding a crucial multi-million dollar transportation project. Gardner has reaffirmed those allegations to Breitbart News in a separate interview. So they have the goods on that Congress critter that's running against Lauren Boebert in Colorado. Tulsi Gabbard went on the stump as soon as she walked away. She did a Dem exit from that. She exited the Democrat Party on Wednesday last week, or Tuesday last week. And she immediately started campaigning in New Hampshire for a gentleman named General Don Bolduc. He's the Granite State's Republican nominee for Senate. Confirmed that Gabbard would be joining him on the campaign trail in the coming weeks as he seeks to unseat Democrat Senator Maggie Hassan. So there you go. Let's see. Last and final fun thing that I'm going to bring up, which I think is really good news. The person that they said that was another big name at CNN it's on the chopping block. Pop quiz, who do you guys think it is? It was a mystery up until just now. who do you think is going to be the next one to go? And think of the Trump curse. Anybody? Anybody want to guess? Danielle? You know. I sent it to you. Did you see
it? I think Bill Barr needs to go. How about that?
Well,
yeah,
that would
be my number one.
Yeah,
yeah. He's on CNN. I got disconnected, and I just got back online. What's the question?
Okay, so it's a pop quiz. You know I always do a pop quiz. Who do you think will be the next person on the chopping block at CNN? And think Trump curse.
Oh. I don't even know who's left there. But they've replaced them.
Yes, Seltzer's gone,
today,
right?
Gone. Scudo's gone.
Cuomo's gone. I mean,
Cuomo's
is Lemon
gone.
Still there?
Lemon there?
Don Lemon's still there. He did get demoted from an evening show to a morning
show. Anderson Cooper needs to go.
Okay.
He would be the biggest.
Yeah, Cooper. That's a good vote.
Really?
Cooper.
You guys think Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Acosta. It's Jim Acosta. The person this Discovery exec was talking about is Jim Acosta, CNN, like they did when I reported about Stelter being let go, will be to defend the person. That's what network PR people do. Keep in mind, many of the recent people let go had big support within the network. But so here we go. CNN seems serious about creating a new reputation or creating the appearance they are anyway. And Jim Acosta
was definitely
anti-Trump, footing the network maintained through the Zucker era. But it did not fit right into the middle ground vision is being pushed into. Since Acosta was the main Trump lightning rod between the old CNN and the new owner's future vision, he will either go quick or with a lot of internal pushback. Stay tuned. Okay. So
I don't know. So whoever they're replacing, there was a blonde on today that had the governor candidate for Arizona on, and she was basically acting just like an agent of North Korea wanting her to apologize for the – did you see that? And I'm like, who's this woman? I thought this is the new and improved CNN. I don't like it. I'm not impressed.
I don't like it yet either. Yeah. Her name is Dana Bash. Her name is Dana Bash, and she's a freaking lightweight loser. But, yes, she's
She was terrible.
About being an election denier. And Carrie Lake said abused her right back. It was good. It was good.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great.
I want you guys to does anybody have any questions or comments about the information that I shared?
I don't have any questions.
Say it again.
It's interesting about the poll.
Thing about
poll.
I knew you would.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you familiar with that? All the money that they requested to be back to the Vatican by a certain day, which was a few weeks ago, and it seemed as if they were in dire straits, and now they're coming back swinging. I'm finding this very interesting.
Yeah, they wanted all assets and monies returned to the Vatican by September 30th, and they issued a weird statement to their priests and archbishops that if they did not, because they're considered assets, you know, but if they did not return, they would not be able to protect them. And so I had predicted that they were going to crash the economy right after that.
Right.
You know, like digitize everything. But it's interesting, you know, that they're trying to do the one world fiat now, because the Pope has already been involved in the one world religion and just last month got all of the imams and Buddhist leaders and leaders of like various religions to sign an agreement with him. So he effectively has done the one world religion now. So it's very interesting, the Vatican.
I was fascinated by them.
Prophecy being fulfilled.
Yes.
Whatever happened with Vigiano? Do you remember the archbishop that was working with Trump, Vigiano, and then he issued public statements against the Vatican and was telling the truth, basically, about the Vatican and went into hiding.
Yes. Is he now dead, I imagine? I would imagine.
Yes. Vigano, and he's still issuing statements. He's still, you know, talking about them being part of this new world order, of the Great Reset. He's not adding up.
God bless him.
Can you hear me?
I love Vigano.
Yeah.
The Vatican secret police were sent after him, but I don't think they've found him. Which
nope.
is beautiful.
He's still issuing statements.
I kind of wonder if Trump is, like, hiding him somewhere.
Probably because
he's in Mar-a-Lago.
But he's still putting out videos. He just put one out, like, you know, like 8 days ago. So, yeah. And he's not shutting up.
I do have a question. Before you go, can you please talk about that bodybuilder or the health expert you were talking about earlier?
I'm so sorry. Danielle, go ahead and read the statement that he put out that I sent to you, and then I'll discuss it. Do you have it up? If not,
I can
paraphrase.
Well, hold on. Let me look it up. Hold on.
Okay. No worries.
This is from the Facebook post or something. Hold on.
Yes, it was. They were his own words.
Oh, of course.
From a news source, though.
This is from his mouth. This is from Doug Briglione's mouth. Says I have a post on Facebook.
Go ahead.
And says I have enough evidence. I have enough confidence in the vaccine based on my research to get it done. Those of you who think the vaccine kills people can use me as a test. If I die, you were right. If I don't die and have no ill effects, you were wrong and should admit it, at least to yourself. Better yet, you should admit that you were misled and tell the world who misled you so other people can benefit by avoiding those fear mongers.
He passed away from undisclosed, so far, no cause of death, which is how they're classifying a lot of these vaccine deaths. He died after getting the vaccine.
A perfectly healthy man. Yeah.
He was, that was his whole shtick. He had a whole empire about health and bodybuilding and attrition and, you know, that he made millions doing that. And so he put out this statement on Facebook.
He would take a shot. I'm surprised he would do that. It just is so against everything he was about. I just find it fascinating.
Well, I wish I could have talked him out of him.
Yeah, I wish I could have too. It sounds like a lot of people tried to convince him not to take it, but the government co-opted a lot of people just like him to promote the vaccines, and now look what happened. Now he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And
so after I read that statement for the first time, I've read it in my head, right? But I read it loud enough so that my daughter heard me, and she comes rushing out of her room, and she goes, "That's not how it works. You know, even if he doesn't die, blah, 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 blah." And I was like, "He died." She goes, "Oh."
Oh, poor Ava. But it's going to take stuff like that. That's what it's going to take. People are going to be reading that to their friends and family. And I got to tell you, that's what made me talk to my sister today, that article, because that's exactly the way that she spoke. It's like, oh, Carla, I got to do it. I got to protect myself. My brother-in-law was deathly afraid of the virus, and he made her stay home and, you know, wear masks and not go anywhere. He was just very frightened, which, you know, that was their goal, was to frighten us, right? And then today, after I read that article, I said, I'm going to talk to my sister
And I did, and she said, nope, not taking the booster. And she said, I was right about it killing people. She did say, though, and I don't know, maybe I can check this with you guys because you're the experts, that the adverse effects, adverse reactions usually happen within the first couple of weeks. Is that true? Or
well, I don't know, because from the people I know that have died, it's been a few months.
Well, okay, let me just quote Dr.
Then
Bill Gates. I mean, not Dr. Bill Gates, but when he said that if you want to know the long-term effects, the 10-year effects of a vaccine, you have to wait 10 years.
That's gross. That's disgusting.
Just trust me.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. We'll see how it turns out.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, I hear chickens in the background, Mom. I think that means you've got to go.
I do. And yes, you did. And I want you guys to have a great week. I'll be gathering more interesting / good news over the next week. Things are heating up. The midterms are in just a very short time, and we'll see how things go. So I would actually buy some food, because you know Antifa likes to hurt people in order to try to intimidate them, the globalists anyway. Their shock troops, Antifa, to try to intimidate them into voting a certain way. So stock up on some food and water until after the midterms. Oh, and God is still sitting on his throne.
I love you, Carla.
We read the end of the book, and we
love you guys. God wins. All right.
You too.
Be well, be blessed.
Love you, Carla. Have a good week. I'm glad we're getting more on the same page. I like that.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. Okay, so the only other thing that I've got left to talk about are vaccines, and we just that was a great little segue with Mom. So if you don't mind, I'd like to play a clip from Jimmy Dore.
Absolutely. We haven't heard Jimmy Dore in a while.
Yeah, let me pull this up. Hold on.
Did you see that Medved ad that I popped into the conversation room? That is now a real thing.
No.
And that blew me out of the water, because that's been in every Q Telegram group since forever, with all the, you know, the white hats are in charge and Trump's coming back, and, you know, along with the Princess Diana and the John and the med beds are coming in, free energy and yada, yada, yada. Well, I just gave you an ad that's in my state. There's med beds that you can go to for it's a recharging session. And I'm like, this is awful, awful intriguing that this is now an accepted mode of holistic therapy. And I'd like to find out a little more about, like, what it actually is doing for you, whether it be the highly coveted, it was like an oxygen tank type of a deal where you could basically heal everything in the body, cure cancer and all kinds of things. And if you could find the technology at any place that had one of these, it was highly coveted in the natural health field years ago, and then it was kind of like outlawed because it cured people's illnesses. And now here's this new technology that they've been talking about on all the Q drops. And I was like, I was actually blown away. I'm like, quite interesting that some of these things are coming to fruition. So I was wondering.
I'm not able to think of that doctor's name now. But they took his technology because he was healing people with vibrations and frequencies that were being emitted. Remember? And he healed like eight terminally ill people. He healed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
they confiscated all this technology and arrested him. I don't know why I can't think of his name right now. But anyway,
oh, I know
but that's what they're
about.
Using
hold
for
on,
these med vets, though.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, they're using the vibrations and the frequencies to, like, this machine can, like, basically it does a body scan, and it can see each of your individual cells and what they look like and what they're doing, and then heal
okay.
the individual cells in order to heal the entire body.
That's what it's saying, but it also has a diagnostic quality to it where I'm thinking, oh, my God, if they use it for good and not for evil, that'd be wonderful, but they always use things for evil. And this is more like a you go there and they'll be like, oh, dear God, you have this, this, and that, so now you got to go to the next center to go get your special treatments for this new, you know, subdural cellular like. You know, leukemia, Parkinson's that they detected through this technology. And I'm like, that's why I want to learn a little bit more about these med beds. But,
it's
not
the
person
who owns them. Who?
It's not Dr. Semi who you're talking about?
No. No, it's not him. I'll figure out his name probably at like 3 in the morning. I'll realize his name and I'll message it to
yell
you.
Yell it out in your
I don't know why I can like picture his face perfectly. But I can't think of his name. Anyway, he was the one that came up with that technology. And then, I don't know, Elizabeth, hopefully they will use it for good. It really depends who owns the med beds and the technology, you know. Like, I know one of our researcher friends, Jason Estes, I think is how you say his last name. It's spelled like Estes Park. He actually owns a facility and bought a med bed and put it in the facility in Texas. And he's trying to find a way to make it economically available for anyone that wants to use it. And then his dream is to open up a facility like that in all 50 states or at least every region. And
you
make
know
them
where
available
in Texas?
To people. And then, no, but I can find out today and let you know. And then he would like to have one in every continent as well.
Yes.
Well, more power to him. This is it's a Tesla, and it is in the central and southern part of the state, which I found very fascinating. It's not near us, near the big Mecca up here. But nonetheless, I was like, what goes on here with all this? The next thing you know, we're going to have
all right, I'm going to play this Jimmy Dore now.
Okay.
I'm going to play. And this is basically like, they're just ripping on Colbert and Fauci. But here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, if you're in Virginia Beach or Richmond and you want to buy a single ticket to our stand-up shows, you can do so now. Single tickets are now available in Virginia Beach and Richmond. And we'll see you on October 16th in San Jose, California. So I want you to remember this. The FDA expected to authorize new COVID boosters without data from the testing people. Just to let you know where this is now. Just to let you know where this is. Usually it takes 10 years to get a vaccine. They got that one in 3 months. Now they're not even testing the boosters on people.
You know what I find, Jimmy, when I go, because whenever I do like black rooms, like not mostly white rooms, they all know all this. This is like...
So watch this. Fauci was on Colbert. He was trending today. Because of this appearance on Colbert, where he's asked about ivermectin. Watch this.
Did ivermectin do anything?
No.
Okay. Humans do take it, but not for this purpose.
Right. It does not help with COVID, and it could be dangerous.
Okay.
So that's weird. And I like how Stephen Colbert just, how he flipped this. So the script was, for months and months, ivermectin is horse poison, and you're a moron if you take it. He said that. Everybody on television said that. Fauci said, everybody said that. And Stephen Colbert doesn't go, well, wait a minute. Why do we lie about ivermectin then for all those months?
He wouldn't even let a joke happen. He's certainly going to do this.
Right. Watch
did ivermectin do anything?
No.
Okay. Humans do take it, but not for this purpose.
So now what Stephen Colbert just did there is called public relations for big pharma. So what he should have said, what I would have said in that situation, and what anybody with an ounce of self-respect would say, Stephen Colbert doesn't have any, what they would say is, Well, if that's true, why did you guys bend over backwards and put yourself into a pretzel to lie about ivermectin? Because that's what they did. They lied about it. If that's true, why did you lie and make people think? So watch what he says. Watch
this. Did ivermectin do anything?
No.
Okay. Humans do take it, but not for this purpose.
Why did he have to say that? Why did Stephen Colbert have to tell everybody that humans do take ivermectin, but not for COVID-19? Why did he have to say that? Why did he have to say this is a human medicine? Because they'd all been saying it wasn't. All the people who get their money from Big Pharma had been lying at the behest of Big Pharma.
Didn't the CDC say it, like with a picture of a horse?
The FDA put out a thing that's saying you're not a horse.
Oh, it was a little snarky even more.
So just so you know about ivermectin, it was discovered in the late 70s. It is a pioneering drug originating solely from a single microorganism. It has had immeasurably beneficial impact in improving the lives and welfares of billions of people throughout the world. Not millions, billions of people's lives have been saved by ivermectin, and they made you think it was a fucking horse poison.
But can't it be dangerous?
And that's right.
How?
And Fauci says it's dangerous.
How?
It's one of the safest drugs in the history of drugs. So let's watch again.
Did ivermectin do anything?
No.
Okay. Humans do take it, but not for this purpose.
Right. It does not help with COVID, and it could be dangerous.
Okay. Hydroxychloroquine.
And it could be dangerous. See how he just says it? He just says it like that. It's been prescribed to billions of people. How dangerous is that drug, Dr. Fauci? Is it as dangerous as aspirin or less dangerous?
Is there any class action lawsuits, like with your Tylenol and your every other one?
It was invented by this guy, and they won the Nobel Prize for it. So Stephen Colbert doesn't say, yeah, it's taken by you. You see how he dismissed it? That's what a propagandist does, and that's what Stephen Colbert
is. He's talking to a priest. I mean, that's him being a good Catholic dipshit talking to his
priest. That is what that is.
But Father, should we?
So not only is it – so Stephen Colbert didn't say, well, not only do humans take it, it won the friggin' Nobel Prize for human medicine, and it's on the WHO list of essential medicines. But Fauci just made everybody watching that show think it was a dangerous medicine. He said so. He said it could be dangerous. It's on the WHO list of essential medicines. How dangerous is it? So that's Fauci doing propaganda, and that's Stephen Colbert, a paid propagandist. Their bills are paid by Pfizer, and that's what they're doing. They're lying to you. Anti-parasite drug ivermectin shows promise against cancer. Before COVID, they were calling ivermectin a wonder drug that could possibly treat cancer. That's what an amazing drug this was. And here, is this have, though that the FDA gets 70% of their money from Big Pharma, does that have something to do with this?
It could be lethal. Wait, the Fauci didn't mention it could be dangerous and even lethal.
Even lethal. So why did you guys have to lie about this so much? If ivermectin really didn't treat COVID-19, why did you guys lie about it? Why is basically the entire media lying about what ivermectin is and calling it a horse drug? Remember Rolling Stone did this? And then every news media did the same story. Gunshot victims are left waiting as horse dewormer overdoses overwhelm Oklahoma hospital.
Wait.
This is a picture from Oklahoma in August, and everyone's wearing winter jackets as they stand in line with gunshots.
Yeah, I was going to say the pretty casual gunshot victim. They must have a real gunshot problem there.
And everybody repeated that. The Hill repeated that because they're garbage, funded by right-wing billionaires. Newsweek repeated it because they're garbage, funded by right-wing billionaires. Here, I just don't really understand why seemingly real news outlets like Newsweek, New York Daily News, The Hill didn't bother to even look into this story before they pushed this narrative.
What?
Why do you think they didn't look into this story? Because they're funded by Big Pharma, and they're not there to tell you the truth. They're there to manufacture consent for their fucking donors.
What does Drew Holden do? Is he a reporter? How does he not know that?
No, I mean, he's ripping them.
Oh, well, okay.
He's saying they didn't even look into it. Didn't it sound odd to them? Wasn't it worth investigating? Maybe a single phone call? None of those outlets did that.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. They stopped doing that like years ago.
Here's Rachel Maddow tweeted out this story. to her. She's got over 1 million followers on Twitter. She tweeted this out. This tweet's still up. That's still up about patients overdosing on. So that's, she's paid by big. She's paid 100 grand a day by Big Pharma. Used to be 30 grand a day. Now she gets, I think, 100 grand a day.
Wow.
From Big Pharma. And that's why she lies like that. And they'll never take this down on Twitter because she's lying at the behest of Big Pharma. Oh, here's a guy from Ken Clipperstein from what do you think he takes to make his face puff up like that? Anyway, this is what he thought, right? So he's from The Intercept, right? So he works for another billionaire who's in a bed with that dirty war in Syria, lies a lot, and they, all that shit. They try to smear Julian. All right. So that's who he works for. And this is what he said. Vaccines should not be voluntary, but y'all aren't ready to. So he wants.
I'm saying y'all, you prick.
So he's for authoritarian fascism and wants
to throw y'all in there to make it folksy as piece of, oh my God.
So one day, so I ran into this myself. So one day, why do I bring him up? Because one day I tweeted this out. This is from the NIH website. And it was about 19 studies that they had done on COVID, on ivermectin. And I just tweeted it out. I'm like, isn't this interesting? It's at the NIH website. And it's about the use of ivermectin. That guy, Ken Clipperstein from The Intercept, retweets me and says, Jimmy Dore is a horse to wormer med guy now.
Oh, y'all ain't ready to talk to Jimmy.
So he knows he's lying.
Yeah.
So, but he knew also that nobody on Twitter knew he was lying because everybody just follows people like The Intercept or MSNBC or CNN or The New York Times or The Washington Post. And they're all owned by Big Pharma and they all lie. So that's, and so this tweet, by the way, got like 10,000 likes.
Couldn't they just read the thing from the actual thing?
Well, that's what I, so that's what, that's a good point, Kurt. Guess what I did?
Yeah.
I tweeted this out. I said, I don't know what's going on here, but I tweeted out an article of 18 studies from the NIH, the National Institute of Health. Not my opinion. Ivermectin is for humans. I get mine at Walgreens.
Oh, that's why they passed that law to crack
people down. Being anti-science to dunk on me is a very weird trend. And I circled it. That this thing I tweeted out is from the NIH, and he's calling it a horse. So that's the world we are living in, that people can blatantly lie doing unpaid propaganda for Big Pharma, which is what he's doing, to try to dunk. He's being anti-science on purpose, doing lying propaganda at the behest of Big Pharma and the establishment to dunk on me. It's right there, and no one gave a shit. Did you see how propaganda works? Do you see what it was like? Oh, we're owning the Trumpers. That's what they thought they were doing. No, you are being owned by Big Pharma and propagandists like Ken Clipperstein. You're being owned by Big Pharma propagandists and guys who are willful liars like Ken Clipperstein. And the same people who purport to be concerned about misinformation and how it spreads on platforms like Twitter will surely be silent about this ivermectin thing. Where's the gnashing of the teeth from the disinformation reporters? Where are the Twitter content warnings? Where's the outrage? There isn't any.
Well,
because they're lying.
Elon Musk to find him.
Because they're lying at the behest of Big Pharma.
Yeah, right.
You won't hear any. Because this is the acceptable type of political lie that Ken Clipperstein and everybody in mainstream media tells. And none of these people or outlets will learn anything. And they'll keep doing this. They're still doing it. Because they care more about scoring cheap dunks on their opponents than getting the truth. Of course, that's why they can't. That's why The Intercept can't tell you the truth about Syria or the gas attacks. That's why Ryan Grimm and Ken Clipperstein have to pretend and lie about Russiagate. Because they can't tell you the truth because they're owned by billionaires and they're owned by Big Pharma and they have to lie to you at the behest of the establishment. And that's where we're at. So that's why Fauci was trending yesterday because he went on, or today, because he went on that and he said that about ivermectin. And why did they lie about ivermectin at the top of their lungs like that? A Nobel Prize winning medicine that's on the WHO list of essential medicines that was considered a wonder drug. Why would they lie about ivermectin saying it was not a human medicine, it was a horse poison? Why? On the off chance that ivermectin could treat COVID-19, they couldn't get their emergency use authorization for the vaccines, and then Big Pharma would have lost a couple hundred billion dollars. And a couple hundred billion dollars is enough money to buy everybody in the government, local and state and federal, and everybody in corporate media.
And probably some water and garbage service in
that's
Jackson,
right.
Mississippi.
That's how much $200 billion are, and that's why they lied about ivermectin, and a lot of people still do it to this day. Rachel Maddow still has that tweet up.
Yeah, well, now they're like, what are you still talking about that? I already decided I would never learn about that.
That's right.
And still, so it passes the time when you...
So isn't it weird that... And Stephen Colbert didn't say, so it is for humans. Well, why did they lie about that? It wasn't for humans for so long. Why did they do that? Why did the FDA tweet out, hey, y'all, you're not a horse? Why did they do that?
Why do they keep
Stephen
saying
Colbert
y'all?
Never brings this up. Isn't that weird that Stephen Colbert never brings this up?
Well, I've seen his other work, so no.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's pretty popular.
Okay,
doors.
We're doing stand-up comedy in Virginia Beach, Richmond, Virginia, Arlington, Virginia, San Jose, California, Miami, Florida, West Palm Beach, Denver, Palm Springs, Austin, Texas. Go to jimmydorecomedy.com for a link for all the tickets. And while you're there, join our premium program. You get to see my new stand-up special coming out.
Okay. I'm going to
that was so
Lily first
I,
words
now
up.
Now I know why. I don't. Huh?
No, go ahead, Elizabeth.
I now know why I'm not getting my Jimmy Dore come through my feed, because he's highly dangerous and tells the truth.
Absolutely.
You know, the amazing thing about them downplaying ivermectin is it runs right in with their Stalin-like laws that they put upon the medical establishment, that they will be put in jail and fined and their license taken away if they did not follow with the COVID protocol. And that's an interesting way to, you know, to placate that, yes, ivermectin is a thing, but it's not for COVID. And don't you dare, you know, go against what we say fixes COVID or can be used. Very interesting. You know, because the more knowledge people get, it's hard to try to get people to do things they know is not right. It doesn't make sense with the more knowledge they have and information. And then if you throw them a little morsel and say, yes, but this, and that's exactly what they're doing. And I can't believe they didn't touch upon those horrible confinements that they've enacted against anyone in the medical profession. But they basically tied their hands and threatened to put a gun to their head if they don't do what they say.
Yeah. And in California, you know, they just passed that law, the medical
mm-hmm.
disinformation law.
I can't even. That is why I don't like to watch the news anymore. It's like, I can't live in this world. This is just it's getting too much. That would even make it out there, and then it would be passed, and there isn't a huge, you know, front of people with torches at the hospitals and at the courthouses and say, you know, what country are we living in? But I believe we're all probably still in shock. Or, as I tell everybody, we're just so damn polite. We're just too polite to rise up. It seems to be, because everyone feels the same way. Even the guy that I stopped going to this grocery store that I used to go to, and I popped in there, he's like, where you been? And I said, I'm doing local now, you know, because you guys went too big corporate. You went, you know, you fell into the plexiglass and then self-checkouts, and, you know, you made the COVID part of your infrastructure. And I said, I don't go for that, so I go to the little places. And then we started talking politics, and he's right there with me. He's like, he goes, it is time to pull them out of office and hang them from the tree. And the five guys there were all in agreement. And it's like, we're just too polite to stand up to what they're doing to us, is what it comes down to.
I'm not. I'm rude.
And everyone... I'm a little defiant myself, and I said it's going to
be
very interesting.
Well, let Lily have a word here.
Pardon me?
Let's let Lily have a word here. What do you think, Lily?
Certainly.
Well, we knew, I think, the whole time that ivermectin was benefiting people greatly, and it's interesting because it treats parasites. You know, so all along we've been having discussions about what exactly this bioweapon COVID was, right? And
Right.
A lot of us came to the conclusion that it was some kind of a parasite, you know, and then various doctors have come out to tell us that almost all forms of disease within our bodies come from parasites.
Right.
You know, like in the foods that we eat and in the chemtrails and, you know, like many other places. And then, you know, now that video that I, well, I don't remember if I told you about it or I thought about it. I'm sorry. But there's a video that's recently been out all over BitChute. And this particular doctor, a lot like Dr. Madish, you know, when she was able to get the COVID vaccine and view it under a microscope. And she talked about the graphene oxide, and she also talked about those parasites. I can't remember the name that she gave for them, Hydra something, and they look like little octopi, you know, with tentacles, and they're moving around, and they're like translucent kind of. Now there's another doctor that is doing a lot of work like Dr. Madish, and she has isolated these parasites in the COVID-19 vaccine. And, you know, she was saying that they're working in concert with the graphene oxide, you know, that black goo, which is interesting because predictive programming, it's in a lot of, like, movies and horror stories on television shows now, you know, like with this black goo. But anyway, it works in concert with that to take over your body, and then with the spike proteins, it continues to multiply itself. And so it's really interesting, you know, like because it makes me wonder then when we're looking into different treatment protocols to help people that did take those vaccines that now realize it was a lie and are trying to detox their bodies, if ivermectin would help them slow down the growth of these parasites maybe. You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I think it would be worth looking into for someone that's better at medicine and science than I am.
And me, for sure. But that's definitely an interesting theory.
And it's been, you know, it's not just a theory. It's being taken down as soon as it goes up. There's pictures that...
okay, you're right. It's a conspiracy theory.
Of autopsies, of the things that they're pulling out of people's arteries, and these things look exactly like huge parasitic live worms that are causing
calling them clots, but they don't look like any clots like, I've ever seen.
No, they look like worms, large worms, and that is quite possibly been put into them via the vaccine, and that's what's killing people. And it's miraculous that a parasitic medicine is saving people. You put one and one together, boom, you get two, but then it gets taken down because, you know, we're not supposed to figure out what they're doing to us. Yeah.
And is it weird that they started to preemptively discredit ivermectin at the same
right
time?
Right off the bat.
You know what I mean? Like, see, ivermectin was supposedly a COVID treatment. And people are like, okay, well, it's because they can't get an emergency use authorization without it. You know, if there's an active treatment, if there's a treatment that can get emergency use authorization, that has been, right, but that's been the go-to stuff, right? The go-to reason. But I wonder if they were thinking further down the road and saying, No, this is not a treatment because the vaccine was introducing a parasite.
Right.
I mean, they are always several steps ahead of each situation, you know, and they do like to recycle things and use them again. So if they can kill everybody with a parasite and then terrify everyone else, you know, that's a virus that's going to kill them, and then they can, you know, like inject people with it with a vaccine and kill more people. You know, like they really enjoy their poisons. The protocols of the learned elders of Zion are all about you know, utilizing poison and putting it in everything, so people are forced to use it all the time. And, you know, they recycle things that they feel work for them, right? So it would make a lot of sense to me that they would use it for both things, you know? And it makes sense, too, because it targets specific parts of your body, you know, that usually the heart and the brain we're seeing, and, you know, multiplies there and grows there and then kills the host. You know, and I was watching a documentary that was comparing COVID and the vaccines for COVID to this, to different like parasitic species. You know, like they, like there's a type of fly and it will infect, and there's a species of mushroom that does the same thing. It will infect other insects like a spider or whatever, and grow on them, and it will take over the spider's nervous system, and it will cause the spider to like climb really high in the air up these trees where the fungus needs to be deposited to thrive. And the spider will continue climbing as while it's slowly dying, and then eventually it will just fall over dead because, you know, like the higher they climb, the less oxygen they have access to, and they die. But it completely hijacks their brain and their nervous system. And that seems to be a lot of what the vaccine is doing. And then, you know, if you pair it with something like 5G and you can remotely control people, you know, it's really creepy, the capabilities that they have with their technology. And now Bill Gates has come out and said that he is working on growing new crops such as lettuce that have the vaccine already in them, and he can bioengineer them in a way that people wouldn't have to take injections or pills anymore. They could just eat food and be given doses that way. And of course, you know, he made it sound like it was this great, really helpful thing, you know, so you don't have to hurt people with needles. But we know that it's because they're targeting us and we won't take it, but most of us are pretty conscious about our health, you know, in our bodies, and so we may eat lettuce, you know what I mean? It's just all nefarious.
Yeah, absolutely. They can't do it in the Twinkies. It's insane.
And in city.
Pardon me?
I said it's nefarious and insidious. It goes so to the root.
Yeah, it is.
Of
and,
our
you know,
society.
They already have it nailed down with the amount of crap that they put in the chemtrails that we're inhaling and getting in our blood systems through the ground, the soil, the water. And it's already causing neurological damage with the amount of Parkinson's and MS. That's a neurological disease that is rampant. You know, it's fascinating that we're just not dying fast enough for them. I'd like to know what the hurry is. What's the rush? That's what I'd like
to know. I think the most ironic part about all of this is that this depopulation agenda is going to affect their base, their fan base, right? The people who are going out and getting shots in their arms, they're the ones that are going to die first, and they're going down swinging at the people who the same way they do. Does that make sense?
It does. But
yeah,
I just thought
it's really weird.
What their main thing, really, their ulterior motive is to change our human dynamic, because we have such an amazing power and we're ready to go to ascension. Our spirits are going to vibrate higher. We're going to become the best we've ever been. And they're just trying to knock every single one of us down off of that ladder so so that we don't make it up to the next step where we should be, up to vibrate high with the energy of the planets. And I think if there's a few of us, we're that dangerous. That's why they have to get everybody. So that might be exactly what it is.
Well, and you know, because they are Satanists, and you know, like I've said this before, but I feel like it's worth repeating, so I'll just repeat myself. They, you know, mm-hmm. Satanists don't necessarily worship some red guy with horns, you know, like their goal is to destroy and invert everything natural and make it unnatural and make it in their own image, you know? And so, I mean, Lucifer was given an age to rule. That age is about over with, you know? And in this age, like, if you read, like, the Book of Lucifer, it's a Gnostic book that was taken out of the Bible, it tells the story about why it was that the Creator allowed Lucifer an age. And it was because he was hoping the whole time that he would repent and turn around and not continue his behavior. But also, it was a kind of a deal they made, you know, that if Lucifer could get the people to believe in him and worship him and follow him, then basically he could be the creator of the earth. And if any of the creator's followers still believed in the creator, then Lucifer would not win. And so, you know, they can't force people to say that they're going to follow Lucifer, but they can inject that belief into your bloodstream, right? Because our DNA is a perfect 144,000 cells that make it up. And it literally spells God eternal within the body. When
no
you
way.
Take the vaccine.
144,000?
Yeah. Yes, that's the 144,000. And so, because they're groups of 12. And when you take that vaccine, it makes the third. It's instead of a double helix, it makes a third helix. And it creates, when you add it up, it makes 666 because it becomes 216,000. And then when you add that with gematria, 666 is what it is making your DNA to spell out. And then your DNA no longer says God eternal within the body. And I personally believe that that is... You know, when it says, like, those who have the Creator's seal on their forehead, I think it has a lot to do with your beliefs, but I also think that that seal is your DNA, you know? Like, do you still have the Creator's signature on your DNA or do you not? Right? Because, you know, you don't have to go out and proclaim to the world that you love Lucifer. But if your DNA, you know, you've altered it to an extent that it no longer says God eternal within the body, you know, then what are you proclaiming? Like your very cells, you know, are proclaiming something different. And it's really sad and unfortunate, but it's why we were trying so hard to warn people, you know, because like we can fix almost anything. But once you alter your own DNA, I don't know if we can fix that or not, you know, like
it's a game changer.
I have no idea.
Right. And look at how, what the big, huge thing now is to alter your basic, the dynamic of who you are when you're born, this gender, transgender agenda, you know, and it's really, really catching on. And the monkey wrench.
They want to manipulate us down.
You're
to
a terrible
person. That is the big populate. That's the big push right now. That's the big media push right now is transgender.
And you're horrible, and they'll even arrest you if you get in their way. And it's like, wow. And they are frantically trying to keep anyone from being a pure human being as they're born. It's very demonic. Very demonic.
Well, and that was in prophecy, too. You know, the Hopi and the Mayan both talked about a time near the end when men would become women and women would become men, you know, and people didn't know what they were talking about even like 20 years ago, you know, like, what do you mean all of these men will become women and women will become men? But, you know, but
Lily,
now it's
Lily,
like very clear to see.
Lily, my love, did I play, I'm not going to play it now if, you know, no matter the answer, but the Hopi Prophecies, a radio show about this very thing. And I think the Hopi were the ones that said, that was part of this YouTube video. It's already downloaded. Did I play that for you?
No, you've played the Hermes one for me a couple of times, but I have not, because I read the prophecies, you know, but I haven't seen, like, good videos, so I would love to see it sometime.
Yeah, we'll do that maybe next week or something. But that was my Easter show, was about uniting all of the religions, saying that there was Egyptian, you know, religion, there was Hopi prophecy, and Christian prophecy also talks about it. They talk about it a little bit differently. They talk about hermaphrodites, you know, and they, I'm sorry, no, eunuchs. They, and in the Bible, it says that there are three kinds of eunuchs. There are eunuchs that were made, eunuchs that were created, and eunuchs that choose to be. So that's like what the Bible says about, you know, people who choose to be another, quote unquote, gender.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But the Hopis also do it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Lily. I'm totally digging this, this talk. But I really do think that you're right on that. And I do also think that most religions talk about this gender, you know, topic. But the Hopis, for sure, they're like men and women. Future, they're going to say they're the same. That I think that Hopis are the only ones that flat out say it, but it's in other religions as well.
Yeah, and I love that. You know, that's actually... So from, like, a very young age, I've never been able to understand this realm or what was happening, you know, and, like, why things. I just knew something was, like, terribly wrong, but I, you know, had no idea, like, what it was or how to go about fixing it or anything. And so I, from about fifth grade on, I have read all the prophecies I can find, religious texts, different spiritual books, you know, to try to figure out, like, what the hell is going on in this place. And, you know, that was always one of my favorite things. So the only way I've really been able to, like, fully understand what this is through these different texts and prophecies. And my favorite part about all of them is the fact that they are all so interrelated. You know, they say the exact same things, but they describe them in a slightly different way, you know, so that that culture can best understand what they're talking about. You know, and I think that that's absolutely beautiful, because you can't use all of this divide against people if people know that even their spiritual and religious beliefs are all connected and related and say the same thing. You know, like, in my opinion anyway, and I just think it's really incredible, are, you know, so interrelated with each other, you know, and I think it would be great if more people realized that, you know, and read that for themselves, we would not have these holy wars and religious wars, I don't think, in the same way that we do, you know, because the Creator represented himself the same way to all people, but in a slightly different way, so that each group of people could best understand him, you know, and I just think that that's beautiful. I'm sorry, I get really excited about that.
No,
really, I love you so much. That is, okay, I call that the tomes, T-O-M-E-S, the tomes, which is, and it's often a way to divide the people, the tomes, right? Well, my religion said that Jesus did it, and my religion says that Noah did it, and my religion says that Gilgamesh did it, and you know, like there's all of these different, you know, translations that seems to primarily try to invalidate other religions, right? And but when you really look into it, there every religion at the base, at its core, is saying the same thing.
Yes, and the prophecy is too, and the signs.
And your government wants you to go the exact opposite way, or you're a terrible person. I found
any
that
authority structure. This is above government. This is all about authority structure. Remember that Jesus Christ was fighting against the government of his time by fighting against the Pharisees.
Uh-huh.
Right? That
yep.
was a religion.
Exactly.
So what are we doing right now? All of us, everybody here on this call, everybody listening to this show, what are we supposed to be fighting against? Is it religion? Is it government? Or is it the same thing? You know, that
I mean,
that
I would say it's the same thing. They're both mind and social control.
Popular opinion. Who killed Jesus? The crowd. They wanted, you know, they were given the choice, Barbarous or the Christ. No, kill the Christ.
The Romans technically killed Jesus.
Well, but they gave it to the crowd. The crowd. They put it in their hands. They screamed for the Christ to be. They appeased the crowd. So it was popular opinion. And that's
right.
What we have now.
Because
the
media
the
of
culture.
The time demanded it. Brainwashed
mm-hmm.
the population.
Mm-hmm.
Even then. It's the
mm-hmm.
same things that we're dealing with today. The media brainwashes people,
right.
popular culture, entertainment, Hollywood, all of, you know, the rap music, baseball,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to circle back, thanks, Sucky, to what you were saying at the very beginning of the show, that that the media only focuses on certain things and not the important things. But the media focuses
right.
on how to brainwash the people, just like the diocese, just like the Romans, the Pharisees, you know, all of these
mm-hmm.
intertwined religious / governmental structures are, spoiler alert, at the end of the day, all to control the people, except for the things that are being censored. At Jesus's time, he was being censored. His message was
mm-hmm.
being censored, and it was being censored because he was preaching the tomes. He was preaching ancient.
He was dangerous,
yeah.
and he was bringing the crowds together to think.
Yes,
and to think against the government, or the
government
powers that be,
structure.
You know,
exactly.
or even, you know, the temple, in the temple, you know, the money changers, because the temple had been turned into a den of thieves to go against the authority figures. And, you
it
know, there's a
does.
Scripture in the Bible that
this
says.
This is cyclical, Elizabeth. This
yeah.
is cyclical. And that's
it is.
Why Lily
it
is so, you know, so valuable in all of this, because I think that the Native Americans, her tribe, my tribe, which is Cherokee in Oklahoma, we knew this stuff. We knew that this is a cyclical occurrence. And right now, we are on the far side of this cycle. And the most
mm-hmm.
wisdom we can look at right now is Mayans, and Hopi prophecy, these cyclical occurrences that we are, you know, are governed by, we are ruled by right now. The people at any time can stand up and say no. And that's really what the aim of this whole show is that the people all together stand up and say no, because any time a minority rules the majority of the population, it can be corrupted. And we will not break this cycle until we realize that the majority has to rule the majority and not the minority. Does that make sense?
Exactly, because we don't require rulers, and we never have required rulers, you know?
Yes.
And prophecies are beautiful to know, and they're very helpful, and they're great guides. But one of the things about prophecies that the elders are wonderful at reminding us is that it doesn't have to go that way, right? Like this blue sun, or the blue star kachina, depending on which prophecy you're reading from which culture. You know, doesn't have to come and purify everything by fire, because there will not be a flood this time. We can stop that from happening if enough of us unite together and turn away from this, right? And, like, uniting doesn't mean that we have to be best friends and hold hands and sing kumbaya. It just means that we have to have common goals, right? Like, we want everyone to have access to clean water, everyone to be able to breathe fresh air, everyone to be able to access food, right? And so we just start with these very basic things that every person on this planet wants, and then we make that a reality for each other together, right? And that's all it has to be. It doesn't have to be, like, friendships or we're going to, like, hang out all the time. You know, it doesn't have to be. Because I think when people hear, like, we have to unite, they just automatically seem to assume, you know, that we have to, like, hang out all the time and, you know, conform with each other and do all these things. But really, we just have to have common goals based on human survival, you know, and we just have to establish that with each other and be willing to work towards that together, you know. Yeah. And so, and then we can prevent prophecy from needing to unfurl the way that it's going now, right? Because it's a guidebook that tells us if you keep going this way, because repent only means to turn away from or turn around, you know? And so it's a fork in the road, basically. And prophecy tells us, you know, like, if you're following these ones, you know, then this is what it's going to be required to purify this place, because you're, you know, helping participate in destruction of everything, to the point where now the animals and people are going to be filled with graphene oxide. You know, and the only way to end that is this time it will be purified by fire on the surface of this plane. You know, but we can prevent that if we just go the opposite direction. You know, if we just turn around and follow the fork to the left instead of the right, you know. And so, I don't know, I just think it's a great thing to remind people, you know, like, it's not too late. There's not a blue sun, you know, it's not too late. We could still do this together.
I totally agree. You know, and that is why I'm doing, honestly, that is why I'm doing this show. What you just said is why I'm doing this show, is because we can choose, you know, and to quote the late, it's time for us as a people to start making some changes. We have to change the way we eat. We have to change the way we sleep. And we have to change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working. So it's on us to do what we have to do to survive. That's the changes. The changes he was talking about in the early, you know, early 90s. Was it early 90s? This man knew it, and that's why he was killed. You know, that's why he was censored. We've had poets and shamans and guides, spiritual guides, life guides, that have tried to show us how to do these things. And we have turned away from it, which is why the whole satanic aspect of it is important for us to, even if you don't believe in God, is important for us to dive into, to research, to identify, like the Dahmer stuff. Because at the end of the day, even if you don't believe in God, there are certainly people who believe in Satan. And they are in the pillars of our community. So, you know, with that, I'm not trying to invalidate atheism or Christianity or anything in between. I think we all know certain truths, including atheists. Like, even in the Bible, like, I think Christians need to understand that the Bible talks about, you know, the Old Testament Bible talks about two different kinds of death. There's Sheol and Gehenna. And one is a fiery death, a spiritual death, and one means grave or tomb, meaning you go into this, you know, you die, you stay dead, circle of life, just like atheists believe, right? So they're not wrong. When they die, they stay dead. They turn into to dust. Christians are
right.
not wrong either.
It's a choice.
But I think it's important for Christians to understand that once you have that Holy Spirit, once you have that eternal life, it's really up to you to decide what eternity you're going to go into. If it's the fiery one, or if it's the up, right? The eternal life, the clouds that Christians think about, right? Because everybody
right.
who believes
and I would
in God also... and no, Lily, go ahead.
No, I don't want to interrupt you.
No, that's it. That's basically it. Besides, Christians have to determine which kind of eternity they want. But hell is not for atheists. Go ahead.
And I would just like to posit to anyone who, you know, like, you don't have to believe in anything that you don't want, obviously. And I'm not, you know, like a preacher or anything. But if you don't believe that, you know, Helly Weird and the politicians and the Pope and all of these people worship Lucifer or Satan, just look at the symbolism that they use. You know, like, just take a minute and watch a few music videos. They've got, you know, like maybe Katy Perry or that Beyonce. They've got like all of the satanic symbolism. You can look at the, you know, the throne that the Pope sits on, or even the layout of the Vatican that looks like a giant serpent. You know, like all of the symbolism is right in our faces all the time, you know. And so whether we believe in a God or a creator or whatever or not, it doesn't really matter, because these people that are trying to kill us all do believe in something, you know, and they proudly wear the symbolism, build their buildings as a layout of the symbolism, you know, like, and it's all over the place. And so
exactly.
I would just say, you know, to anyone who doesn't think that they believe in something, you know, like, just to pay attention, because, you know, one of the first rules of the art of war, you know, is you have to know your enemy, and you have to know what their beliefs are and what they're fighting for, or you won't beat them. So that's all.
Okay, so I have to say,
very
Lily,
good.
That you say that you're not a preacher, but you are. But most importantly, you're a prophet. You know, you understand these things, and you're so eloquent in. I really do believe that the things that come out of your mouth are from God. That is prophecy. That is, you know, the most pure truth is coming out of your mouth. So you are a preacher and a prophet in my eyes.
I appreciate you. I, ironically, before I, like, do this radio show, or if I do a live stream or whatever, I always, like, pray and smudge beforehand and ask that the ancestors and the creator, you know, and things like will guide what I'm saying to be, you know, like the truth, but to also be like beneficial to other people. And so I really appreciate you saying that, because I always hope that, you know, like, because I'm not good at speaking, but I always hope that other forces will speak through me, you know, and like benefit somebody.
And they definitely do, and that's why you're a prophet. I mean, that's speaking in tongues, that's interpreting tongues and prophecy all in one. But you're so much more than that. There's healing's way up there in spiritual gifts, but discerning of spirits, you're right there. You understand discerning of spirits. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I mean, I'm just basically at this point, I'm waiting for miracles from you.
Oh, I think we'll see them from you far sooner than we see any miracles coming from me.
Well, that's that humility part. I don't know. But You're amazing.
But in the name of healing, if anybody wants to, like, trade some energy healing or Akashic Records reading, I am trying to. I found this really amazing 1981 RV that I could drive because, you know, I can't, my van just cannot pull anything. Even before they kept running into my van in my driveway and destroyed it, like it couldn't pull enough weight, but I found one, and that's what the girls and I are currently doing. We're working on selling everything we own except for our favorite things. And, you know, we did like the blueprint of what we're trying to do, except we did it in our van with all of our animals and ourselves. And it was great. We traveled all over the place, but it was, you know, like we didn't have any space to ground at the end of the day, you know, like after we were helping people and doing things. And I couldn't cook for them, obviously. And so we're going to try to permanently move into an RV, and we would be able to travel on demand. Like, I want to go back to Florida and do some more hurricane work, and I would like to go to Alaska. They had a really awful typhoon, and it was not really talked about at all, but they are feeling pretty devastated, and so we would like to go there and help. And then, you know, like, we would just be able to travel anywhere that people had, you know, would ask or whatever if we could go. And so anyway, you don't have to, obviously, but if anybody listening to the show would like to, there is a link on my page to see. And then I'm trading labor too. So one of my friends is willing to invest some money into my RV adventure, and I'm going to go and trade him a month's worth of drywall. So anyway, sorry, I'm going to like take over the show, but just mentioning it.
No, you're good. You're fine. And yeah, please donate to Lily. You know, I tell you what, if it's meant to be, it will happen. And you know, one thing I believe in is that God definitely takes care of us and gives us exactly what we need when we need it. And if we're meant to be someplace, the doors will open. And, you know, you'll be taken care of where you need to be. And that's the one thing. If it's too impossible to be someplace, maybe that's where you may not be. And that's why I think what you did was a really courageous adventure to go on, because you never know what blessings you'll get just putting yourself out there. I think that's great.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it would be, I think, fun to, like, be able to road school with the girls, you know, like, I don't know.
Where are
so
you right
anyway,
now?
Anyway, if we're supposed to do it, we will. I came back home for a little bit to rest up. And so we traveled, like, a little over 3,000 miles in a week and a half. And then,
wow.
And then, you know, we stayed some places. And so total, we were gone for almost 3 weeks. And we went to, oh, my gosh, we drove through the whole, like, east part of the country and north and then a bit of the south. So we stayed in Florida for quite a while and did some work there, and we stayed in Maine for a little bit, and I have a really amazing friend that lives there, and she's got a lot of health issues, and so we were able to help just little things, you know, like doing, she buys wood once a year that she uses for the whole year, and so we were able to help like stack all of that and move it all where it needed to go. And we were in Pennsylvania for a little bit. We did some blessing and healing work in New York because it really, to me anyway, feels like it needs that in New Jersey. And we went for a little bit in Georgia and helped some people out. Olivia and I one day did almost 100 bags of mulch for someone. You know, just like different things. And it was really neat. We got to meet people. And, you know, they'd never seen the ocean, so we got to spend a day at the ocean, and that was really nice. But anyway, it was very interesting, you know, and I learned a lot, and I'm really grateful for it. And so I had left my house, you know, to do this, and so we've come back to just sell everything, or, you know, donate what we can donate as well. and then go on again.
Yeah, think about coming to the West Coast.
We will. We definitely will. My cats did great traveling, and so did my dogs. My dogs need their own space. They were getting a little nervous, you know, about, because everybody wants to, like, run up and meet them immediately, you know, and be friends with them. And my one dog, Oya, she was extremely abused when we got her. And so, you know, she's a little more nervous about that kind of thing. So she got really stressed out. But, like, the guinea pig and the hamster did fine, the dragon and the gecko, we just took everybody with us.
Oh, but, you know,
it'd just be a lot easier to do this. Because
wow.
I didn't know if we were coming back, you know, and so we had to bring everybody with us.
Yeah.
And so it was a learning process. But, you know, in an RV, it'd be much easier because they could just have a little bit of space to be in.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying this in any kind of official capacity, but talk to Mom.
Mom knows. Go give Carla a call.
I love your mom.
Yeah.
And she loves you.
We've got a farm.
Was there any?
You know, three extra bedrooms, you know?
Oh, there you go. This is how God works. Boom. Exactly. Door was opened. I think it's cool.
Yes, and I would love
really
to spend
cool
time with you, Danielle. We've been friends for so many years that it would be, that would be a miracle to get to actually meet you and hang out with you.
And where I'm staying right now, where I am, is not at the farm. But currently at the farm, we've got a four-bedroom house and three rooms are vacant. You know what I mean? So, like,
there
you
go.
Know, there's so, and there's so much work. I live about 40 minutes away from the, 30 to 40 minutes away from the farm. So where I am is a completely different lifestyle than the farm. But the farm needs some help. I mean, it's in the really great shape right now. The yard, the tomato forest is still going strong, you know. Like, that's the kind
Love
of
it.
That we have right now. It's October, and we have a tomato forest. We don't have a frost date. You know, we don't have – we're not limited by the boundaries of you know, farming.
Nature, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think this is your opportunity. I think it's a win-win. Win-win for Carlo, win-win for you. And that's how
And I'm
God
not
is.
Really,
that's what I love.
I said, I'm not, this is not official capacity, but talk to Mom.
If your mom did need help, it would be a dream for Evie because her entire dream is that we will have a farm or homestead, you know, someday, and she'll be able to have all the animals and take care of them all. And she's really sad about our chickens. Like, I was really sad, but Evie was probably, like, the most impacted by that. You know, because she just loved them. So she would love to hang out with your mom's chicken.
It's a great spot for homeschool, too. I don't know. Like I said, not official. Talk to my mom. Maybe you can, you know, start over here in San Diego.
Come
and because this is, like, this is a crazy situation.
You know,
we don't have a normal like everybody's leaving California, right? Everybody wants to you know, seek asylum elsewhere in the country. But when you've got original property, it's different. I don't know. This is a trust fund house. This is not like my mom. And, you know, my mom or I, neither one of us were able to save money and contribute to this house. This house is in our name because of hardworking women in our family. Not her, not me, but these properties were prime properties were left to us. We've got a million-dollar farm less than 2 miles from the beach. You know what I mean? And original property taxes. You know, this is really a trust, you know, public versus private law. This is really a trust miracle that our family has this property. So I want to do the most with it.
You should go for it. I remember years ago, I was visiting a farm in somewhere here in Illinois, and it was just going back in time. It was in the middle of nowhere, and these people loved me, and I was probably in my 20s, and I loved that place, and they're like, you know what? We're looking for somebody to come here and help us, and I sat there looking and just loving it, and there was that little glimmer of fear that, you know, that fear that comes before you jump. You shouldn't jump, but you should always jump because you could fly, you know. But I didn't do it. And I always think about why didn't I, you know. There's so many other why didn't I moments. And I think everybody should take advantage of the new opportunity that's presented to them because you never know what's going to happen. So this I think this could be a cool thing. It could be exactly what both of you need.
Like I said, talk to Mom.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm not going to just show up tomorrow like, hey, I'm here. Danielle told me to
come.
Don't worry. I'm just joking, obviously.
30 to 40 minutes south, and you can come camp out at my property, which I rent, not own. But the farm might be a pretty good fit. I'm just saying.
I think so.
Yes. If I get this RV, I probably won't be able to park there because I have a feeling your neighbors would be like, oh my God, that van is an eyesore. Because I think it's beautiful. You know, it has character, but it's like a big, very old, you know, like RV that you can live in and drive both. And so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not beautiful by conventional standards by any means, but it's affordable, like $3,000.
All of the amazing things about the Carlsbad property, the most amazing thing in your situation is that it is RV parking ready.
Cool.
So with that, we just got the 90-second mark. So that's it. I mean, that's another week. That's another happy Sunday. So now we're, Lily, let's talk offline. Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining again.
Thank you.
And,
I was able to be here for something wonderful. I think this could be something really good for both of you. I'm excited. I hope Mom's excited.
So, she will be.
I love you guys so much.
I love you too.
Well, I love you too. This is another episode of
Seeds of Change. Thank you so much, Cher, if you can. And we will talk to you soon.
Good.
Have a beautiful week.
You too, babe. Bye-bye.